It's the Drew and Mike show in the deals in the D.com studios. Oh my God, what a barrage of activity today with the Big Ten and the Pac-10 have called off the football season.
Yeah.
Now, what do we know from the ACC and the SEC and whatever?
They're going to play no matter what.
Are they seriously saying that? Is somebody saying that?
I haven't seen any statement from them, but I wouldn't expect them to cancel anytime soon.
Well, the players are safer playing than not playing, according to Nick Saban.
You know what?
By the way, that's becoming a narrative.
Oh, I told you. Didn't I tell you it was going to be? Meanwhile,
it's so ridiculous.
Meanwhile, are they safer because a lot of them will develop CTE? Are they safer for developing CTE? Because that rate's way high in college.
Well, I don't think that CTE's not on the table right now.
Oh, okay, that's right.
About that right
that's
now.
Right. But didn't Alabama, LSU, and Clemson have the biggest coronavirus outbreaks that we know of in a school?
I think so.
They had over 20 at Alabama. I think 27 in LSU and
Clemson had 40.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't include the school that contributed to a triple threat trio member and his entire family getting the coronavirus.
Jesus.
And that is a fact. There's others in that contact trace too. If anybody ever bothered.
Yeah.
I figured the whole thing out this morning before they canceled it. And I'm so upset that nobody got to hear my theory. First of all, you know, yesterday Wojo said, do you have to decide no? And I kind of agreed with him because, you know, today, and this was just happenstance, I wasn't looking for this, there was a story about how COVID is only going up in the least amount of states it's gone up in the last month, I think.
Sure.
And, you know, the deaths were over 1,000 for a few days or for a week, but they're down around, 500, 700 now a day? I mean, they're lower. And the number of... We were at close to 80,000 a day at one point, and now isn't it around 50,000?
I think so,
For some reason, it's going down. So, I mean, in another couple of weeks, I don't know.
Well, by spring, then, it'll be gone. It'll mysteriously magically disappear, and we'll be able to play football.
But the standard is the safety and health of our players, and it is not safe and healthy to play two seasons in 7 months.
Which, once again, is laughable because of CTE and concussions and
coronavirus.
No, that's not on the table right now. We're not talking about that.
So we just talk about COVID then. That's the only health thing we're talking about now?
Yeah, that's the only different from last year.
Well, then if you can play because there's no COVID in spring of 2021, you can play in the fall of 2021.
No, you have to play in the spring of 2022. You
can't
make players play two seasons in that short a time.
Why not?
It's not safe.
Well, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about COVID.
No, but this is as a result of COVID pushing the season forward. Brandon, comment, please.
Do you understand what I mean, though?
Do you think football players should play two seasons in a row in a 7 month period
because of COVID?
If they want to, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, that was a boom hot take.
That wasn't the answer I was looking for. But
I'm serious. I have no idea. I know that a ton of these students want to play. A ton of these students are going to want to go to the schools that are going to decide to continue to play. I just don't know the ramifications long term of COVID yet. So it's just a big mess.
Okay, if it's now versus spring, I say play now. Here's why. Number one, what is more dangerous to these students whose health and safety is the most important thing? What's more dangerous, 30,000 kids coming to a campus or 100 people playing football?
Oh, well, I mean, that's kind of what Brandon was hitting on. If you have kids on campus, although the kids on campus don't travel, the sports teams would travel.
Yeah, but the kids on campus, there's so many more of them.
No, I understand that.
I mean, they're going to be going to frat parties and keggers and...
Unless they're banned.
No, they're going to do it anyway. They're just going to do it. They're gonna party.
How come no one's outraged that cross country is canceled or other fall sports?
Nobody cares.
Oh, okay.
They don't travel either.
We all want to.
Why are they canceled?
This is like the most... Well, because they have to travel.
Not in planes. Cross country doesn't travel in planes.
Are you sure about that?
I doubt it.
Yeah, they do.
Do they really?
Yeah, commercially, absolutely. They don't charter.
Jogging. Hot.
They don't charter like... football or basketball, but they will fly.
Huh. Okay. Well, okay, well, then that's why. But here's my point. If you're going to invite, why is there no outrage over having thousands and thousands of kids on a college campus, and yet all the outrage is directed at 100 football players, who, by the way, are going to be tested constantly, and they're safer playing football than they when they go back in the regular population, they're going to be less safe because it won't be temperature taken all the time, and so on and so forth.
Sure.
I don't know why that narrative ever got started so dumb. But honestly, I truly believe it is far more dangerous. If you're worried about, thank you. If you're more nervous, if you're nervous about the coronavirus spreading, I would think having thousands of kids on a college campus would be many, many, many times more dangerous than having 100 guys playing football. It's just, I mean, tackling each other and all that. I mean, that sounds way worse, but it's only 100 guys.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't be surprised if you see them canceling classes and go all online like they did back in March.
Wouldn't you think they would do that first? I mean, these are people that football players want to play football.
When does it start? When does
I don't know.
When do classes start? I think Notre Dame's back already. Classes.
Are they on campus?
I think.
Are they all?
Oh yeah.
Are they? Well,
I thought school started Monday for that.
Really great football school. Great school.
That story about Kentucky, they had, I think they said 2/3 of the students were there. Like 10,000 weren't there, maybe 20,000 were. I mean, I'm surprised we haven't heard anything yet. That one high school had 9 cases. One high school.
Yeah.
So anyway, but that's not the solution I prefer the most. I'm serious. I solved the whole thing this morning. And I wasn't able to present my case. I feel like Michigan, who has this protocol that apparently is infallible and no one knows about it.
Mm-hmm.
But first, we'll mention that Facebook Live is brought to you by Emergency Response Services Incorporated. Water is everywhere in your home, leaky sink, washing machine, behind the fridge, under your dishwasher. I could name a few other places, maybe coming through the roof. Or maybe you got a foot in the basement, and that's what Emergency Response Services do. They'll get rid of that water for you, or they'll find out the source of it, which is just as important. And the mold left behind. Fire damage, storm damage, anything that seems like an emergency, call 877-JOB-DONE or visit 877-JOB-DONE.com. And they do handle COVID if you've got service vehicles or a place of business that you're concerned about. Some shady, scummy, gross COVID person's been running around your business.
Ugh.
Call 877-JOB-DONE or visit 877-JOB-DONE.com for Emergency Response Services Incorporated.
Gross.
So here's I solved it. I totally solved it.
Congratulations.
I looked up the amount the Power Five conferences are losing altogether. And there's a number of estimates, but it seems to bank in around $4 billion, which is $4 billion.
So they're turning away.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, they're turning away $4 billion.
And by the way, the solution, you'll laugh.
The great sleuth.
What a lot of people were saying is that these schools will be rescued by their wealthy alumni, that basically they'll shake down the alumni.
Oh, guess what?
$80 million.
Guess who I got an email from today? The University of Michigan Mark. Athletic Department. Again.
Oh, they're really hurting. I know.
Third email.
No one gives them any money. They have these great football games, and they let everyone in for free, and they play on TV for nothing. And
I couldn't believe it.
They have to pay
man.
The players all this money. It's a terrible equation for them.
It's like, okay, I get it. You guys want to convert it into a donation. That's great. But now, do I have to pay 2 seat licenses for 2021 now?
Oh, good question.
Right?
Of course you do.
Why? I already paid off.
If there's a spring season, it's a different season.
I paid
season.
It for the year.
Well, the players get like 3 days off between seasons.
So stupid. What cracks me about this whole thing is it is very, everybody is so selfish in their opinion about it because we all just want to watch football.
I want to watch football. Yeah. I totally agree.
That's really what it boils down to.
I miss it already. I do wish they had waited just a little longer. I mean, maybe it looks like I'm looking at the curves on my worldometer and the U.S. is doing better significantly. And maybe by the time they played a game on September the 3rd, maybe it wouldn't, just saying. But that wasn't my solution. My solution was this. Okay, you've got 65 teams. You've got 95 players on each team, right?
85 scholarship. I think some schools have up to 120.
Okay, 85. You know, well, then I'm going to come on the high
home.
Side.
Yeah.
My suggestion is, okay, you're going to lose $4 billion. Now, that doesn't include some things either. That doesn't include, you know, your fans. this is like the TV deal and the stuff that they're losing by canceling now. When you throw in the merch, probably, that you sell when a season's going on, I mean, that's got to be worth something, right?
Well, I use a calculator for that.
Well, they can still sell merch.
Yeah, but the season's not going on. People are going to buy as much merch?
No, but I mean, aren't merchandise deals usually set, like, bam, we have a rights deal with Nike and or the Jordan brand?
Oh, so they get a static amount every year. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, here's the equation. 65 teams, 95 players. Do the multiplication, and you come up with...
Well, I use a calculator for that.
I don't know what the number is. I already did the math earlier today. It's a lot of people. Okay, so then you can take that number and multiply it by the $100,000.
Well, you need a calculator to solve it.
Okay, the $100,000 is the amount that if you paid every single, all 95, now you say it's 85, if you paid all 95 players $100,000 for hazard pay because they're playing during a virus, and you made them sign a waiver, and you said, you know, normally we would never make you sign this waiver, but we're going to pay $100,000. So it's up to you. If you want to sit, go ahead. But they got to sign a big-ass waiver. Then I think, aren't the optics a lot better because you're paying them $100,000?
No, because now you're opening the door to paying them. So why don't you just give them tuition credit
for grad school? This is... Yeah, right. This is hazard pay. So then that amount, by the way, if you do that, 65 times 95, now you can pay him $50,000 if you want, but I'm just saying, I just threw out 100 because I thought, oh, who could turn that down? That's $600 million.
Well, okay. Maybe it's not about the money.
Oh, please. Okay, take $4 billion minus $600 million. Would you rather make $3.4 billion and pay the players $100,000 for hazard pay and have our season to make everyone happy, or would you rather make zero?
Well, you know what the answer is.
Oh, hit up the alumni. That's right. I forgot. It's so easy to suck it out of the alumni.
There's that. But once you start paying them anything,
I know you're right.
Cost of attendance, but once you start actually handing them, you know, more cash outside of that, it's a slippery slope.
It does sound
like the things I was reading, especially in regards to the Pac-12, they're really freaked out by these.
The little union, the little fake union.
Well, no, that's the other thing, too, when you see. You see a lot of people say, the players want to play, let them play. But yet, where was that anger when they put out, you know, the thing about the agreement where they wanted this? Where was the support for the players when they were like, this is what we want to be able to play? You didn't really see that then.
Well, so you're going to say that they're worried about the heart issue with COVID, potential heart problems.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pac-12 coaches and athletic directors got.
Madeline's on the show right now, by the way.
But they're worried about this myocarditis, which they found 5 in the Big Ten already. That's related to a virus.
Wait, time out. Yeah. So this myocarditis that can come with coronavirus, because they've done some studies and they believe this is possibly true, it only affects football players and not people on campus. It doesn't affect students, only student athletes?
No, Drew, of course.
Well, then what's the difference? Why have students on campus?
Well, because they make a lot more money than if they're going to have to refund tuition. I mean, you know that.
Well, then what about all the money they make from sports? Oh, they're going to suck that out of you. I forgot.
Don't they make way more money on
tuition? Yes. Oh, yeah. No, billions. So, okay. Well, just saying.
I'm just going to put Maddie on.
Goes to college.
I'm just going to put Maddie on the Facebook Live.
It's
just Brandon and Maddie.
Is Brandon babysitting today? Is that why he's so quiet?
I guess so.
Sorry.
It's okay. Don't apologize.
Are you seriously babysitting?
Kind of. Madeline, you want to say hi?
Well, let's get all the kids on the show today.
You want me to call the girls?
Yeah, please.
It's probably a zoo
now. Get Bentley's kids. They'll tear the place up.
Sorry.
Don't apologize. Here, I'm gonna.
She looks awful cute.
I'm going to try and zoom in on her, make her extra large. So it'll just be just her head.
Was she eating just a minute ago?
Well, she's scribbling all your notes.
Yeah, I know.
Trying to make just one giant Maddie head.
Well, I tell you, I was really chuckling today watching Herb Street.
Oh, I know.
Reese and Desmond, and we couldn't stop laughing because Herb Street
was spacing out.
Yeah. Oh, Desmond was so spaced out because Herb Street was going on and on and on. Desmond's like, "Why am I here?"
That was so funny.
He was really bummed.
There was that one shot that I could not stop laughing at because Herb Street behind him, because they're all zoomed in, behind him are two framed jerseys of his own jersey. He had a home jersey and an away jersey that said Herb Street. I mean, maybe it could
be. He has to have both. He can't have the home or just the away.
I thought maybe it was his kids because they play at Clemson, but they weren't Clemson jerseys, right?
No,
they were
Ohio State
jerseys.
Yeah.
And then Reese Davis had a framed jersey of Jay Billis, his basketball jersey and Mark May his football jersey. And I'm like, that's kind of two weird jerseys to have. And then it hit me. Oh, those are both the people he did shows with, which would be like me having your jersey behind me.
Well, don't those guys have his microphone behind them? Wouldn't that be funny? Or a family picture of Reese's family.
And then behind Desmond was a Michael Jackson album.
Cancel him! Cancel him!
It was a Jackson 5 album, but
he has jersey too.
He did?
Yes, he did. It's up on the shelf.
Where's his Heisman?
There are a couple trophies up there.
He doesn't have his Heisman on.
Did not see a Heisman. But this conversation was just getting, I got to tell you, after I watched this, I said, exhausting. I don't ever want to talk about coronavirus again. It's so boring.
Boom! Hot take! It made me hate sports radio again because there was a bunch of people saying nothing for like 2 hours.
And also acting like they're doctors. Herb Street was asked, by the way, okay, look at the games are going to be missing this fall. And they had, you know, Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State against somebody, Wisconsin at Michigan, or Michigan at Wisconsin at Michigan?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they had five big games with Aaron Herbst. He goes, oh, well, of course, the big Ohio State-Penn State matchup is the one that's going to be all the marbles.
Oh, bulletin board material. Not looking too good.
Bulletin board material.
Michigan!
Why am I starting to not like sports as I get older?
I don't know. You're probably falling into what I fell into. It's just
105-1
start to feel stupid. Yeah, 105-1. Anyway, Herb Street said that the business of, because that's a game day, people love the joy and the happiness and the excitement when game day comes to town. What? How are people going to deal with this? Oh, we're talking about, 12 campuses?
Right now, yeah.
But they visit once a week?
You got an Eastern. You're talking about the game day show.
Game day.
Oh,
yeah.
Give a fuck.
I know. And
what's Lee Corso going to do?
He actually said it would be traumatic.
Where can we trot out Corso's corpse?
Yeah, how is Lee Corso? Can they freeze him for a year so he doesn't get any older?
Well, why wasn't he on the panel today?
Because there was a lot of ad-libbing. But Reese Davis. Reese Davis.
What kind of jerk is this guy?
Reese completely lost it at one point because they were talking about spring football. And he said, spring football will be completely irresponsible. You can't ask a guy to play 2 seasons in 7 months and say that you're concerned about safety.
Just let the players decide.
And the Big Ten commissioner came on and, of course, said, we will always put the safety of our student-athletes first.
Unless it's regarding CTEs.
That's why we waited until August 11th to make the decision. And we might play in the spring.
We're very concerned about these possible permanent heart damages. But that organ that doesn't heal itself, the brain, where people get hit repeatedly over, fuck them, they'll be out of here by then.
They don't even know it. They don't even know what's happening. So it's not a big deal. But that's why I like the hazard pay. It's like hazard pay. I make $100,000.
Not going to happen.
I know. I knew it wouldn't.
I like the outside of the box thinking. Not going to happen.
Nope, because you're right. The minute they open the door to paying the players, and I'm really surprised. Has anyone brought up the fact that you could just give a little piece of the pie to the players for playing in a hazard? Just a little piece? No. Is someone says $10,000, $20,000? Nobody? Hey, nobody. Hey, not
they get their scholarship, man.
Okay.
Cost of attendance. What else do you need?
Sometimes I'm not sure if I'm the dumbest guy in the world or the smartest guy in the world, because honestly, I have not heard anyone say, well, how can you have students on campus in the thousands, the tens of thousands, and then say that playing football is too dangerous?
With unbelievably brilliant.
Sometimes.
You don't hear it because nobody cares whether or not students... Because everybody
the
hates...
the hypocrisy of it!
Everyone hates universities right now, right?
Right, so why aren't they wanting them to shut down because of COVID and have them lose all their money?
Well, I just mean they hate universities, so they don't care what happens. But boy, they love it when they play football. It's true. It's about wanting to watch football.
I know. I understand that. But if
Brandon,
COVID,
get out of the way of Maddie. Everybody wants to watch Maddie, not you.
If COVID is so dangerous, and I'm not saying it is or it isn't, if it's so dangerous, then why would you cancel football and not cancel classes on campus? It's so many more people. Come on, am I the dumbest or the smartest guy? Because I haven't heard anyone say this.
I understand.
You're pretty dumb sometimes.
Okay, I'll take it.
I understand that. I'm guessing the excuse is going to be because the teams have to travel.
Yeah, but you can get COVID. You don't have to travel to get COVID.
Why don't the Big Ten just put them all in a bubble?
Tell me, by
play
the way,
every game at Ford Field.
Well, that's what Fauci. That's what Fauci said they had to do. If they really, really want to do it, they can do it. But he said you have to do this, 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 and they said, well, we want to do this, but we want to do this. We don't mind doing that, but we won't do that.
I don't know. I'm not surprised by the decision at all. It's just,
I guess I'm not surprised.
I expected it. 2020 is like the lost year. Just pack it up. Do it next year. Whatever. Some of those players, they'll get drafted next year. Trevor Lawrence will still be first overall to the New England Patriots. It doesn't matter. Skip a year.
Yeah, that's funny you say that because I was remember, Drew, we were talking about a couple months ago. They said, hey, you might not have any live concerts or live sporting events until 2022 because of the virus. But no one, you know.
I'm starting to believe it, honestly. Although I keep thinking that we're going to get used to this. People are going to start doing the right thing. No. And then you turn around and you see, oh, this 500 people at this party outside Los Angeles and nobody's wearing a mask. And by the way, don't tell me that the keggers and the frat parties and all that, everyone's going to wear a mask and socially distance. Because they're not. They're not going to.
No, they'll be end up being an outbreak and everyone's going to have to move online again.
Hey, maybe it'll all disappear after the election. Who knows?
Magically? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It could happen.
You never know. They might start bringing out the actual percentages after the election, and maybe things will just calm down after some vaccine gets released as well. Right now in Michigan, what is that? 87,000 people in Michigan have had COVID. There's 10 million people in Michigan.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what is that, 0.8? 0.08. No, so, I mean, people are going to start throwing out percentages 0.08, at some point when things...
Well, I will just say it would be worse if people didn't wear masks or we didn't shut things down.
How many cases and deaths did Michigan have today or yesterday? I mean, it's not
many. Deaths, 551 cases, I think.
How many deaths?
9, I think.
That's actually more than they've had recently. I mean, there have been days when there were 0.
I mean, am I the only one that goes back and forth in my mind?
No.
I start saying, it's fine. And then I go, oh, wait a minute, we're screwed. And then I go, you know what? This is overblown.
100%, Brandon.
I go both ways. But, you know, now I swear, I really truly believe there are people rooting for the coronavirus. I don't know why, but I really feel that way. And it's because
who does it benefit? Who's rooting for the coronavirus?
Trump and all the vaccinations he's creating to sell you. And Bill Gates, who's going to chip you.
Well, when do you read any good news about the coronavirus? That, you know, for example, deaths went from 2,700, 2,800 a day to like, what, 500-600 a day as the cases went up and nobody would even talk about it because it's not helping the virus. You're talking about putting the virus down. If you're rooting for the virus, you don't want to know that.
Okay.
No, I'm not saying everyone is. I'm just saying I think some people are really rooting for the virus. And maybe, you know, it could have something to do with Trump, that the more people that die or the more people that get it or the more it stays around, the more it hurts the economy, it hurts Trump, it helps the left. I mean, there's always that.
I'm not going to subscribe to that.
No, I don't subscribe to it either, but I'm just saying there's some people who are really fucking nuts about politics. I mean, nuts about politics. Nuts.
Okay.
And, I mean, there might be someone listening right now who's going, yes, go coronavirus. Oh,
sure.
And they check always, every day at 1 o'clock. Yes, it's up again.
There's always 10%.
Yeah. God damn it, there's less deaths. I'm telling you, I swear to God. And sometimes I see stories where I go, you know, it sounds like you're a cheerleader for coronavirus. Would you pipe down already? Jesus. And, you know, are they still putting the death chart up every day? It used to be up every minute.
I don't know.
I miss when it was fun and we could just laugh about it.
Coronavirus! Shit is real! Shit is getting real! Shit is real! Coronavirus! Shit is real! Shit is getting real!
People getting a room with coronavirus? I believe it. There was another piece of really big news today. Really big news. But first... The Yaldo Eye Center is offering $1,500 off if you want to have eagle eye vision like Eli Zarrett or any of the other fine people who've gone in and gotten the multifocal implants, or maybe they just got their vision corrected through...
I love lesbians!
...through the regular LASIK. People getting better than 20/20 vision, getting rid of contacts. If people still really wear contacts, don't they? I mean, I find that hard to believe because I've done it twice. I just hated it. So I look for glasses all day. COVID has changed many things in our lives, but they have made the adjustments, as many have, And you can also change some things for the better. I mean, Corona's been all bad, but how about life-lasting, crisp, sharp vision? If you're 45 or over, ask Dr. Yaldo at Multifocal Lens Exchange. You'll see the microscopic print with your far vision in high-def HD. It's not hype. These surgeries are safe with a few side effects in all of medicine. So get a free evaluation. See if you can change your life. 1-800-398-EYES. And remember, a lot of the costs will be eaten up by years and years of not buying contacts or glasses. Mm-hmm. Or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com and remember to tell them we sent you and remember the $1,500 off. And Hall Financial is, of course, the great refi guy. Do we have anybody in the Hall Financial hotline for today?
No.
No? Oh, I have somebody I want to call. I'll just tell you who it is right now. There is a luxury hotel. I swear to God, this is not a joke. There's a luxury hotel in the Manhattan. It's on the west side of New York that has housed. They have given rooms to six homeless pedophiles who are on parole. It is a, a thousand. I think you said it's 1,000 yards from an elementary school. Six homeless pedophiles. Page Six had a story about it today, and one of them forced sex with a four-year-old. One of them had intercourse with a six-year-old boy. One of them raped a 10-year-old. Another one had repeated sex with a 9-year-old, dude-on-dude, or dude-on-boy.
What a fun story.
No, it's awful. I just wanted to call the hotel and ask him if this is the hotel that has the six homeless pedophiles.
It's up on the computer, Mark.
It's a New York hotel. And honestly, you know, there's so many stories about this, too, about all these people who've been let out of prison because of COVID and, you know, all the people who are being bonded out so quickly because of all this bond money and all the crazy shit they do. And it just goes on. The circle just goes round and round and round. And the Chicago story today about what happened on the Miracle Mile is absolutely fucking nuts because there is a protest going on. And they're protesting the arrest of the people looting and rioting. Because, and this is a BLM spokesperson who said this. This is reparations. These are people that stole things to eat, and so they would have clothes.
That's not how it works, my man.
No, that's not how it works. But, you know, some people, it seems, maybe I'm crazy. It seems like a lot of people think it's okay to damage things and to commit arson and all kinds of crazy acts and throw bottles at police and throw fireworks at police. If you've been wronged in some way or someone you know has been wronged and you really don't like it, then you can commit crimes and you shouldn't be prosecuted. And here's the other thing. Kim Fox, that wonderful prosecutor in Chicago, do you know the original peaceful protests, along with the looting that went on in Chicago, they arrested many, many people in Chicago, and they dropped all the charges. The original George Floyd protests, they dropped all the charges. So here we are, I don't know how much longer, when that was Memorial Day weekend, I guess, or before that, when George Floyd, that case took place, which was hideous, and all those terrible adjectives, but nonetheless, they decided not to prosecute those people. So now they've got 100 people they arrested for this riot on the Miracle Mile. These are beautiful stores, too. And they also had experienced close to $100 million in damage previously. And now they're estimating the damage from Sunday night at $65 million. And BLM is protesting the arrest of these people. They're actually protesting in front of police headquarters. And I'm really getting off the Hall script here. The looting was set up on social media. They actually planned a caravan of cars to drive into the Miracle Mile because they said the police had murdered a young boy earlier that day, which was absolutely not true. There was a police shooting of a man, and I didn't look up the exact charges. I know he's being charged with murder or with attempted murder. Mm. He shot at police. They shot at him. He was injured. I guess he was struck by a police bullet, but he actually shot at police.
It sounds very similar to the Hakeem Littleton shooting here. I'd love to know how the police responded in the information battle, since it's clear that bullshit was getting spread.
Well, you know what? It doesn't give you the right to go bust into the ESPN or the Nike store and steal a bunch of shit. No, and by the way, 13 police were injured in this whole thing trying to settle it down. It took 3 hours. But, you know,
I'm not, that's, believe me, that's,
you don't
not
get to decide what the police do all the time. You don't get to say, hey, I want the video now or we riot. That doesn't work. And I don't know what they did, but Lori Lightfoot, I gotta tell you,
I'm just saying,
no,
you're going to get into more situation. Believe me, don't misconstrue this as me defending it or anything like that. It's fucking bullshit and it's horrific. I'm just saying, you're going to have a lot more of these, and it started with Michael Brown because the misinformation's out there, and if you don't want to counter it because you want to hold close all your information, then you're going to have more of this.
Well, Michael Brown, I'm glad you brought him up, because Michael Brown has been investigated twice. He's the guy who... hands up, don't shoot.
Yes.
It's all based on Michael Brown, who did not put his hands up and actually fought a cop for his gun through a window of a police cruiser, and he was shot from about an inch away in the hand. That's one of the reasons they realized the cop was telling the truth, because this first shot happened in the police cruiser, and there's blood all over, and based on the... And I really didn't want to get into all this bullshit.
We're always so worried about fake news and misinformation, then you got to fight it back with the real information.
Well, this information...
I don't know what the police did. I'd love
this
to,
information...
I hope they fought back and said, no, here's the video. This is what happened. This is a lie. And they... it's just
Michael
the
Brown,
stupid world we live in with social media, that's where the battle is waged now.
I don't care what you read on social media. It does not give the excuse to go shoot someone or break in a store or steal shit. That is not done. No, not happening. But Michael Brown, that story has been debunked twice. They've had two investigations during the Obama administration with Eric Holder and a number of other people. This was not a whitewash. It was during the Obama administration.
I agree.
And it was a huge international story. The whole fucking town burned down. And there were a lot of reasons for that. But the Michael Brown case, why did I read this? Oh, I know why. Because Jason Whitlock wrote a story. And he's pissing on Popovich because Popovich with the Spurs came out on the – and it sounded like he brought it up that today's the sixth anniversary of the murder of Michael Brown.
Yeah, it was August. Yeah.
Michael Brown. And he went on to say that he was shot in the back. He had his hands up. And he gave a whole narrative about it. And Whitlock said Popovich is inventing things. That is absolute bullshit. And other than
that,
Jason
was the
Whitlock,
story that got out there.
The interesting thing, though, I didn't see anyone else say that Popovich made up a story. I didn't see anyone else did a story on that. I'll search for it, Brandon, see if you see anybody. But anyway, someone sent that to me, and I saw that Michael Brown was referenced frequently during the George Floyd protests. And also, I believe Michael Brown was one of the names that people, or one of the things people could put on their jerseys in the NBA, was Michael Brown. I'm pretty sure. I mean, check or double check. When they had the original list, it was on there. And I'm going, Michael Brown? But you know what? I kept hearing Michael Brown so often during George Floyd that I actually started to believe, well, I must have that story wrong. But today I looked it up, and Michael Brown, first of all, he assaulted the owner of a convenience store who was of Indian descent. And
well, I will say the police didn't know that, though, when they responded.
Yes, they did.
They did.
The police officer... I believe his name is Darren. Hold on. I actually wrote all this down today.
I don't see his name as one of the messages that you could put on the back of your jersey.
Darren Wilson?
No. The cop's name is...
Darren Wilson.
Oh, Darren. I said Aaron. Darren Wilson, who, by the way, lives in obscurity now. He has been threatened so many times that he and his family live in a very quiet, private area. And he is no longer a cop. And... it's one of these things where it's like he's in witness protection, and he did nothing wrong. He was told that to be on the lookout for this guy, 6'4", 300 pounds, and Michael Brown was a big guy, who had shoplifted from this store and assaulted the owner of the store. Mm. Now, there's some debate as to whether he shoplifted or he was taking something in payment for some pot he gave someone at the store, but I mean, I don't know if we'll ever know that. But the cop was looking for him and saw him... jaywalking and told him to please get on the sidewalk, and he refused to, and in fact came along the car and jumped in the, I don't know how this, what preceded this, but he went in through the window, fought the officer for his gun, and was shot in the hand in the police car. And then when this fight got outside the police car, At some point, they were separated, and he said Michael Brown was charging him, which, by the way, the ballistics show that he was indeed being charged, and he was shot in the front, not the back.
Yeah.
So why Popovich, you know, wanted to go on and on about this, and why he was referenced so frequently during the George Floyd thing, I just was like, what is going on here?
That's the narrative that got out there.
But it's been debunked. I mean, they've had two investigations during the Obama presidency.
Lots of things have been debunked that people believe.
Well, but for an NBA coach to bring this out of, you know, bring this up out of nowhere, hey, it's the sixth anniversary.
Just like any other conspiracy theory, yeah.
I would expect more of Pop, I guess. But, you know, maybe that fires his team up. Anyway, Hall Financial, of course, all this ties in so nicely with Hall Financial. We're doing all these refis, including somebody after 6 months. Somebody who'd been refinanced 6 months ago called on a whim and said, you know, I got refinanced, but it got down to 3.92, I think it was. Can I do better now? And they said, well, yeah, you can, but let's see. You know, let's work it all out. And I guess he got 3.25, and he did save money and was able to skip a couple payments. So people are doing this, and it's, I mean, what do you got to lose? Call 248-308-5000. They're quick. They're dependable, and they are punctual, too. 19 days is the average it takes at Hall Financial. 44 days is the industry average. You also go to davidhallmortgage.com/Drew and Mike or fill out the form on our website. We got over 1,700 five-star reviews. They are good. So that's the story. And maybe we'll call this hotel a little bit later.
There's a couple hotels, actually, that
oh, they had the six homeless pedophiles?
It looks like they... It's so funny. De Blasio can't do anything right. But it looks like... Oh, sorry about that. We'll remove them immediately. So the level three offenders are out there, are out of the hotel.
But great.
They were there. Nice oversight by the city.
Well, maybe we should just find out if they were there.
Oh, they absolutely were, yeah.
I know. It'd be nice to hear them acknowledge it.
Do you think they ordered room service?
Yeah, I bet you they got room service. I mean, they got a free room.
I'll take a black light to that room before you stay in it.
There were... apparently, this hotel, it's a luxury hotel. And
housekeeping?
The problem started not because they knew they were homeless pedophiles. They just knew they were
homeless
on probation.
Yeah.
And homeless. And they were putting them up there. And then some people in the neighborhood started complaining because people who were staying at the hotel were urinating outside. I don't know why they were doing that.
Out of second story building or windows?
Was it
no,
Al?
No. Al's much Al? More responsible than these guys. Anyway, the big story, besides the Big Ten and the Pac-10 canceling football, and has anybody else canceled since? Are we still waiting for the other ones?
Well, the Mountain West, but, you know, nobody cares about the Mountain West, so they got buried. But no,
is that Boise State?
Is that where you know what? Boise's moved around so much. Probably.
Wait, that sounds about right. Or are they the... who cares? Anyway, today... this is interesting because I watched the Fox 2 coverage of this story, the local coverage, and Huelhead, is it Tim Skubik, I think, who does the
Scoobs.
Political reporting?
Yeah.
Scoobs! Scoobs does a good job.
I love the Scoobs, yeah.
Scoobs, he looks really straight, but he's a lot of fun.
Oh, he's a wild man.
And he knows everything about the political scene here, which
he
is
really
even
does.
More fun. But the announcement was that Kamala Harris is his choice for vice president.
Yawn.
And today, yeah, it's the conservative. It's the safe pick, which I got to tell
you. It's a boring pick.
If I were him, I would make the safe pick. Why go crazy? But you know what? Allegedly, yesterday, or as of 2 days ago, when the news came out that Gretchen Whitmer, our governor, had traveled to Delaware for an interview,
mm-hmm.
In those 2 days, apparently a lot of leadership in the black community were up in arms. Not just because, well... allegedly, not just because Gretchen Whitmer's white, but because they don't like her.
Yeah, she's not popular here.
She did, well, she's popular
in the city,
here.
In the city.
In the city?
But the, see, in the
well, she did nothing about Flint, which was one of her campaign promises, was to right what was wrong in Flint. And I guess the feeling is she's done nothing about that. She also wanted to close down the Benton Harbor schools. And
now, conversely, the one attractive thing to her is apparently suburban white women like her and like her a lot. And that's the one, you know, the Trump got a lot of those votes in 2016.
I didn't think she'd be a bad choice, honestly.
Where are the white women at?
I didn't think so either.
I think she does. I think she holds her own. I don't know how she does it sometimes. I don't always agree with her, but I have to admit she does her job well. I mean, if your job is to get reelected, and she does that job well. That's my honest opinion. Now, I don't even know what to say about her, except that there was a couple things that really annoyed me today. One was that I've heard this over the last few days, that Biden is trying to find his Biden.
What the fuck does that mean?
And it turns out that Biden wants a vice president just like him. Somebody who is a governing partner like he was with Obama.
Believe me, she would not be my first choice. I mean, that I can tell.
There's so much presumptuousness in that statement. I would never be caught saying, you know what? I need another Drew.
It's the vice president, man.
No, the vice president's the vice president's vice president. He's not going to say, Vice President Whitmer and I have taken a straw poll. And this is what come. No, he's going to act like he decides everything, because it is, in the end, it is his choice.
I mean, the vice presidency, though,
is nothing.
It's kind of obscure.
Nobody cares.
What the hell has Mike Pence done? I mean, no one talks about Mike Pence. He doesn't pop up here and there. I mean, whenever he does, it's just kind of a, you know.
He got really mad at the Colts when they kneeled.
Yes, he left the stadium.
Yeah.
He was so bummed out he left the stadium.
Hey, to that point, you know, Trump's been, you know, tweeting about college football. What if one of those players knelt? Would he be confused if they played football and one of them knelt?
I'm sure college football won't. College football will kneel, won't they?
Oh, no, but.
No?
No, I don't think. Well, they're not playing in the Big Ten.
But, I mean, Colin Kaepernick is going to go till the year 2060, and it's going to come up every year. But anyway, a Biden like Biden. So I guess she's the best Biden out there.
Peas in a pod, man.
Now, since he picked a black VP.
Do you think she knew Corn Pop? Is that the guy's name?
Yes. Does he still have to pick a black Supreme Court justice now? Because he picked a black VP.
He promised he would.
Okay.
Pandering.
Well, anyway, I'm just waiting. My prediction is that within the next, I'd say, 72 hours, something horrible is going to come out about Kamala Harris. Whether it's true or not, I'm not saying it'll be true.
She's
a total
failure.
If there's anything horrible that anyone can unearth anywhere, it'll come out.
I think she's got some very deep-seated problems.
It could be in her high school yearbook. It could be virtually anywhere. And I felt the same
way.
This
new girl, she take it up the ass.
I didn't think you were going to play that one.
Well, I didn't play. I don't know. That's just what people are saying.
That wouldn't be horrible. She might be lauded for that. So anyway, yeah, that's...
She smells horrible. It's unbelievable.
That was the boring news today. Then there was a good pile of local news. First of all, there's a deal to buy the state fairgrounds for $9 million, privately financed by the Sterling Group, who will then partner with Amazon, and Amazon will be the tenant. It's all no tax dollars going towards this development.
I'm shocked. The city made money on it, too. They bought that area for $7 million from the land bank 2 years ago.
No, that's going to be an Amazon thing, too?
Yes.
Yeah, part of it.
That's incredible. They're opening up so many different places here in Michigan, and yet just not too long ago, we were all crying about not getting their headquarters. Well, we got people on the borderline talking about that monstrosity that's being built where the Silver Dome was, and there's the big one at 23 and Mound or whatever, Ryan. And I know there's some downriver. The Amazon's taking over.
My understanding is there's a lot more Amazon business to be determined because New York gave up 40,000 Amazon jobs, and that place was going to be gigundous.
Good. Maybe I can get my packages in one day instead of two.
I don't want to talk about that.
Oh, the mail. Yeah.
Fucking Bose speaker.
Oh, really? It's delayed?
I thought it was going to be here today.
Did you track it?
No. It's due next Tuesday.
What? Where'd you buy it from?
I thought it was Tuesday this week.
Did you buy it from
Amazon? I don't want to talk about it.
Did you go on Amazon.com and buy it? Guaranteed delivery in 5 months?
Speaking of my Bose speaker, let's see if I can find this.
Where did you? Will you say where you got it from? Did you buy it directly from Bose, or did you get it on Amazon?
I'm pretty sure it was just from. No, it's through Amazon.
Oh, okay.
Wait a second.
Why is it taking so long?
I don't know.
It shouldn't take that long.
Somebody actually emailed to pop off about how much less they paid for their system and how much better it is.
Asshole. I'm kind of glad he emailed, but asshole.
I know.
Hey, return it. Here it is. It hasn't arrived yet. Return it.
No. Because I'm going to blow him out of his mind.
You guys should have a speaker off.
We will
off.
Have a speaker off. We absolutely will. I will blast Matthew out of his house and home with my big Bose speaker.
What does he have?
Well, here's what he said. Drew, I'm drunk as fuck right now.
I love it already.
But I heard you spent piles of money on a Bose speaker on the podcast.
Can I guess? Did he get Sonos?
No.
Oh, okay.
Take my advice. I rock out all the time at stupid volumes with some 10-inch Sirwin Vega speakers and an old-ass Kenwood receiver plus a Bluetooth adapter.
Whoa.
Total $500, and my setup will blow anything Bose makes out of the water.
I'm non-braggadocious.
I know you're a music rock fan, and old school setup is so much more enjoyable. Nothing can compare to big speakers. My music requires big sound, no compromises.
Oh, so he's got tall floor speakers.
Yeah,
you know what's funny?
I don't want a giant fucking that's receiver and big speakers. I just want my little Bose.
I used to have that. And then,
but I'll take you on!
And then 6 years ago, I lost him in the Great Flood, August 14th, hashtag never forget. The big floor speakers. And then after that, I'm like, I don't want these big fucking floor speakers anymore.
I know, I think mine.
Once I have a kid now, it's like, you can get so much sound out of little ones that will suffice.
I did like big speakers, but they became, it seemed that I kept hearing, it's like ringing in my ears that nobody wants big speakers like that. Where are you going to put them?
That's kind of how, I mean, I'm
never a problem. They look
good. I'm a minimalist. I just want small.
They were JBLs.
Ooh,
beautiful.
Hey.
It looks like a college dormitory. all right. I want you. I want you, Grafton.
Bring him in, man. Let's have him bring his. Let's have him make him put those giant speakers in his car and drive him over here.
That's a lot of. I mean, for a challenge, he's got a lot of work
hey,
to do.
This is your home turf, man. He's the road team.
But I mean, he does have two giant speakers. His receiver's probably got a couple hundred thousand watts.
Yeah, 50 watts per channel. Baby cakes.
All right.
Yeah, that got a lot of, you know, you not receiving your. Your Bose speaker for a while, and mail in general got so much.
Yeah, I'm hearing from
feedback.
a lot of people from the post office are.
Oh, really?
Writing in, and they're actually angry too because
sure.
They don't want the post office to be maligned. I mean, it's the last thing in the world they need.
Maligned.
We got about a dozen calls. People just saying it's because Trump doesn't want absentee ballots, and so he's shutting down the post service.
Oh Lord!
Wait. So that's not what they tell me, though.
He doesn't have the.
They said that a lot of people are off because of COVID, so they're short bodies.
He doesn't have the power to do that.
What does that have to?
I don't know. So what our boner line said.
Well, you've got mail.
Believe me,
well,
there's plenty of bad blood.
I do have a boner line later for today, and I don't think that any of those calls are in there. But we have a ton that came in. I'll forward it all to you.
There's plenty of bad blood between Trump and the U.S. Postal Service, but that was not what they said to me. Actually, I've talked to multiple people about this. They all say, well, now, as opposed to a while ago, there's more freedom to say, I am concerned about going to work and somebody has COVID in my family or whatever.
Sure.
Or I have COVID or I'm worried I have COVID, so I need to quarantine or I don't feel like coming in because I'm nervous.
Hey, don't worry about it because Gary Peters is on it.
Well, he's not doing shit for me.
I'm joking.
Get on it, Peters.
He's ballyhooing all of it that he's
I hope
investigating
he does.
The mail delivery delays.
Well, I'm glad somebody's trying, but you know, I expect.
Come on, what is that going to do? I'm investigating it.
You know, I
fix it.
I got to tell you,
unless Peters is out there walking the routes, I don't want to hear about it from him.
You know, in the shorts too. I have not had anyone say to me that, "Hey, don't worry about it. It's all gonna be over really soon." It's like, yeah, I know it sucks, but because of COVID and people taking off, there just aren't enough people. So I said, why don't they hire some people?
Yeah.
And apparently they don't have the money to hire people. But, you know, in my brain, I go, wait, but if people aren't working, then you have that money. But it's like, oh, yeah, you don't have that money because.
I wonder if people are going to say, you know, so that letter was late by 3 days. You know what? I could just take mail delivery 2 days a week.
Well, you know what?
Just get
I have to tell you something.
A mail 2 days a week.
If they would tell me that's how it was going to work and it worked that way, I wouldn't mind.
Yeah.
But if it's just like, hey, when you have a carrier, you have a carrier. When you don't have a carrier, you don't have a carrier. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
No, this is the post office. Rain, sleet, snow, monsters, dinosaurs, whatever. It'll be there
monsters
every day.
And dinosaurs.
I mean, it was the big, you could always count on the post office. At least you'd get something every day. I always got mail every day. Not happy. But I'm even more concerned because, and this is, you know, a lot of small business people were responding to this too and saying, I have to come up with an alternate plan because I have relied on the Postal Service too. And I feel I can no longer rely on the Postal Service. So therefore, I have to do X, Y, or Z because I can't just wait indefinitely for some things to get here or for my things to get somewhere else.
Well, especially if you're rural, you know.
Oh, yeah.
A major metropolitan area.
Well, hopefully those people aren't.
Well, they are, though. That's the problem.
Sure, that's a big problem. Anyway, I was talking about the Amazon deal at the state fair, and that's going to open in 2022, they said. And
2022. I take that for their word because they seem to be able to build buildings a lot quicker than maybe some Hudson's buildings in Detroit that take 7 years to even get started. But I expect this thing to actually go up quick.
Well, it will, because it is Amazon, and they're partnered with somebody, and they wouldn't partner with them if they didn't believe in them. But, you know, they also said that they're going to have an academy for entrepreneurs. And how many times have I heard this? That, you know, oh, we're gonna start entrepreneurial stuff. And Dan Gilbert had a young group of entrepreneurs. And I remember when they were building Little Caesars, the deal was you had to have X number of employees who were of color or African American or minorities. And if you didn't, you paid a penalty. And with the penalty, that money went into a training program. And then when I read about the program, they said that very few people took the city up on it.
Yeah.
And it was the same thing when somebody, and I can't remember who it was, moved somebody out of a neighborhood. And I forgot what changed about their workplace, but they offered all this retraining. And anyway, a couple years later, I think it was city council. This is way back on city council when crazy people were on city council. But they were talking about, you know, whatever happened to that program? And they said that something like six people had signed up for the training program. So, wow. In other words, they offered all this free training to get people back on track, and it just seemed like it. But I hope people do sign up for this Entrepreneurial Academy. I hope it does work. I would love to see that, and people should sign up for it. So, beyond that, Hudson's 2024. Boy, what is going on with that? 2024?
Oh, no.
They kicked that off in 2017.
Yeah,
they broke ground in 2017. And since then, it's just been one big massive hole in the ground. And I don't know.
Then we have Grace was released from Children's Village.
Mm-hmm.
Grace, who was, and I quote, jailed for not doing homework, which was not true. They wouldn't say her age. They said, we cannot reveal 15. Grace's age. Isn't Grace 15 or 14?
It was revealed in the...
That's what I thought.
Was it Bridge May? I don't remember who did it originally, but that she was 15.
But anyway, they said that the judge considered past violent actions against her mother and then decided anyway that they would let Grace out and go back to her mother, who then blasted the juvenile justice system.
Yeah.
Well, the mother is the one
who made... Stop calling 911,
lady. Stop calling 911 and saying your kid is beating the crap out of you and that you can't control your kid.
Yeah, she brought this up, once again, in that first big article that she said that to the judge there. She goes, yeah, but you know, your safety is in danger right now because of your own words and what you said. Like, she didn't understand that because I think she was afraid of losing her kid. Then stop calling the police.
Well, she was more concerned about her own safety, though. So, I mean, it was not as simple as not doing her homework. I just hate, why do all these stress? It seems like nothing is good enough, or nothing is bad enough, I should say. Because when Rayshard Brooks was killed in Atlanta, at Wendy's, how many people I heard, oh, my God, they killed a guy for sleeping at Wendy's. It's like, okay, doesn't that story suck enough without making it worse by stretching the truth? Why do people do that? It's all the fucking time. It's like, I was joking before the show. I said, Jim Harbaugh doesn't believe in science. Because anytime someone is not an environmentalist enough or they're not this enough, they say, they don't believe in science. No, maybe they just don't believe in that science. Or maybe they just don't know what the fuck they're talking about. But
he doesn't believe in science.
Well, if he...
No. Science. That he cares about... playing football more than people getting sick.
Well, actually, he believes in science because Michigan has science no one else has.
Yeah.
And here's what I heard. Blah, blah, blah. Science, science, science.
So anyway, one thing I meant to mention was, this is so exciting, the lineup from Milwaukee of the Democratic Convention.
Oh, wow, this is going to be
Big Gretch is going to speak.
Yeah, is this all virtual, or are they actually going to Milwaukee?
I don't think they're going to Milwaukee.
Why is Milwaukee even mentioned in the story?
Because we can all be on Zoom with Big Gretch. And
live from Milwaukee.
Bernie and Cuomo and Michelle Obama on Monday, and then Tuesday. Bill Clinton's on Tuesday?
Oh, my God. What are they scheduling for, like, noon? Next. For the whole block? noon to midnight?
Is this because of Epstein and Pedophile Island? Are they moving him out of the prime time?
No, because they'll talk forever.
Jill Biden is also on Tuesday, and AOC is on Tuesday. Mm. Wednesday, Obama, Hillary, Pelosi, and Liz Warren. Ooh, some people are going to love that night.
It's got to be reverse. Please tell me it's reverse order.
I think it is.
It's got to be, yeah.
And then Thursday, it's Cory Booker, Budgie Buttigieg.
I'm like, who the fuck is Budgie?
Budgie. Yeah. Kamala Harris, I guess, and then Joe Biden. So there's your exciting.
Wait. When's Alyssa Milano speaking?
She's speaking?
No, I don't know.
Oh, I believe
you. I just assumed she was because...
Falling out.
I saw her on CNN again today.
Again?
About her hair falling out.
Oh, my God. Which, I could not believe how many people sent that to me, by the way. It's a video of her brushing her going, look at all the hair falling out because I have coronavirus. I mean, this girl cannot talk enough about her coronavirus. Like, she is the worst case possibly ever.
Yeah.
Every single chick that I've ever known who combs their hair when it's wet then has had coronavirus, because normally when I see girls do that, a little bit of hair comes out like that.
She might have a thyroid issue, too, really.
I don't know.
Aubrey Huff had a nice response to her, too.
Oh, great. He's such a good guy.
What a dick. I mean, don't get me wrong. She's an idiot, but what a dick. Is it really? I mean, I got to look for it.
I kind of like it when two idiots on opposite sides of something go at it.
It's exhausting, though. How do you spell her stupid name?
Alyssa. I can't understand, honestly, why does Aubrey Huff... I guess he's just an asshole. He can't help himself.
He made some reference to... semen, didn't he?
I'm trying.
Here it is. All right, I found it. So here's her post. Here she is.
Hi, everybody. I just wanted to show you the amount of hair that's coming out of my head.
Neat.
Quiet.
Why don't you open that robe up a little?
Pause it for a second. Can you imagine this girl? Okay, she has no makeup on. She's just out of the shower. She doesn't, without makeup, she doesn't. She's very attractive. I'll be the first to say it. But without makeup, certainly not as attractive. And she also has this really kind of bitchy face on, like she's pissed.
Well, she's got COVID, Drew.
I know.
The worst COVID ever.
I know, the worst case ever. But I'm just imagining if, like, she was your girlfriend. I mean, can you imagine that face being mad at you? I just really would cower. I would. I know, she just looks like she could be a real... I think she could be pretty tough to get along with.
Well, I guess it helps that I paused on this exact moment where she has the most incredible resting bitch face ever.
She does.
Here's what Aubrey wrote in response to this video. He wrote, that's what happens when you get old, Alyssa Milano. You lose your hair. Don't blame the shit on coronavirus.
It's not that bad for him.
I guess not.
Okay, let's see the rest of it. I'm very concerned.
See in there? There is no hair in there. Right now.
Oh my God! This is like the lamest.
Is this honestly a symptom of coronavirus?
Lame scientific experiment. Whoa! Ta-da! There's the hair.
I think your hair's falling out. Is honestly,
is that a New York Giants robe?
It's got a Y. Is it NY? I don't see the N.
It's kind of cool. It's got a number on the side though.
Oh, she was banging a giant apparently. Number six.
He left his robe over there.
It's number six.
Yeah, where is the N for that Y?
Well, why does she think people want to watch this gross... She's still doing it.
All right, there's got to be great comments underneath this.
You didn't see the other one from Aubrey First Huff, who's...
I know, that was the first one I came across.
All right, I'm going to look for it real quick. There was a real nasty one that he posted. He might have gotten rid of it.
She replied to this, her own video, by saying,
65% of COVID-19 survivors suffered reported
surveys. Wait a second. Don't like 99%?
Well, no, you didn't hear the full
99.3%
thing.
99.3%
survived? No, you're not. You didn't hear the whole thing. 65% of COVID-19 survivors surveyed report experiencing hair loss.
Okay.
So, once again, she has the worst kind where you have every single symptom.
Okay, I found Aubrey First Huff's another response to this tweet.
Can we never refer to someone like her who's had coronavirus as a coronavirus survivor again?
Just kind of.
Yeah, Aubrey First Huff to coronavirus survivor Alyssa Milano. Women lose some hair when they comb. Men lose semen when they ejaculate. Nothing to see here.
What?
I don't know.
I don't know why I think that's funny.
Lose poop when they shit.
Here's another response to Alyssa Milano. Coronavirus survivor Alyssa Milano. You know, this video is like me saying that every time I choke my chicken, I blow a load.
So, but no, here, whatever. Get ready to be even more furious at COVID-19 survivor Alyssa Milano. Someone replied to that tweet and said, "So how'd you get COVID-19? And she replied, "We think on a plane. Got it too, and we traveled together."
Who got it?
So @AlecLed got it too, and we traveled together. So of course, right away, really on a plane? Yeah. Come on! And then they post a story about how this is the problem with COVID right now. Well, Are you brain dead? Did you look at the date that you highlighted?
She is flying around and then complaining about getting coronavirus. Doesn't that seem a little ridiculous? I mean, there's no better way to get coronavirus.
It's totally ridiculous. Ugh.
All right. We done on Facebook?
Oh, we have been for a long time.
Okay. Downtown Royal Oak, it's time to start thinking, getting closer to the weekend, famous for shopping and dining options such as, well, how about the Royal Oak Tap House? How about the Bingo Institute of Grooming? How about the Little Bros Burgers?
Yeah.
How about Freshie? How about Supertype or Motor City Gas or Elements Custom Jewelry? How about my friend Deco Doug or 515? How about spending your Royal Oak bucks at any of those places you want? Because so many of you, 20,000 people got $20. These are real dollars, Royal Oak dollars. You have to spend them in Royal Oak. But virtually everyone is on this program. That's a nice thing. You don't have to hunt for three or four places to find one that'll take the money. Because virtually all the restaurants are involved. And I think virtually all the retailers, too. So it's worked out fantastic. And if you haven't spent your money yet, it's time to spend it. Maybe Thursday, maybe Friday, maybe Saturday, Sunday. And you've got the free Lyft program, not the free Lyft program, but $10 off Lyft if you use the code GO2RO. Go to Royal Oak. That's your code for $10 off on Lyft. If you're coming from, somewhere at least farther away than Ferndale, you're going to save $10. And you're going to save $10 going home, too. And if you want to party a little bit, then you're not going to have to worry about driving. So there you go, GO2RO, and use it going home as well. We haven't had any problems with that either. And that works from 5 p.m. to 2 a.m. on Thursday and Friday. Saturday, if you want to go and hang out, because I love walking around Royal Oak and popping in the bookstore or Noir Leather or any of those crazy places. My friend Deco Doug, Metals in Time, go see Surge, look at some watches. 10 a.m., the $10 off Lyft starts working. And then 2 a.m., all the way to 2 a.m. That's a lot of hours. That's like 16 hours, isn't it? 12 plus 2 plus 2, yeah, 16 hours of $10 off Lyft to go in and to go home. Get $20 off and spend your Royal Oak bucks, the $20. And there's more coming. If you didn't get Royal Oak bucks, you can still get them because there's going to be another round of this and maybe even more. Mm. All the parking is free. All the parking garages in Royal Oak, all the city ones,
yeah,
free. And they'll tell you if there's vacancies. They got that cool sign on the outside. Mm. So there you go. And things are getting wild at Zot Ford and Holly. And we're talking the all-new Ford Bronco. It's time to reserve your new Ford Bronco with our friends at Zot Ford. They've got the Bronco Sport, the full-size Bronco, the two-door, the four-door. The hype is huge. And, of course, they have the Ford Promise. If something goes south with your job in the next year, which, I guess it's happening to people because of COVID or what have you, you can cancel your ownership in that vehicle, and they will take it back, period. Finally, they got the lease trifecta. lease a 2020 Ford EcoSport or a new 2020 Ford Escape all-wheel drive or a new 2020 Ford F-150 Supercrew XLT 4x4. Your choice of the three. Each one as low as $166 a month. Yes, Zotford's trifecta gives you a choice of three brand new Fords for just $166 a month. Surf their great deals and massive inventory at dealsinthed.com.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
There you go.
You want to hear a boner line?
Yeah, I guess so. We don't currently have our boner line sponsor, do we?
No. You can pick one if you want.
Oh, that's a thought. All right, I'll do that. I don't think Adam will complain.
No.
If you're a man facing divorce or custody issues, call Adam. For nearly 30 years, Adam has been helping men just like you protect your rights and get fair treatment in the court system you deserve. A lot of guys are worried, I'm going to lose my house, I'm not going to get fair custody, whatever. No, that's really not so much, because people like Adam have been fighting this for a long time. So don't take your chance with your future. Go with the best. Adam has the knowledgeable, aggressive, experienced attorneys you want. And they know how to advocate for dudes. Call Adam at 248-356-2326. That's 248-356-ADAM. And for today only, they bring in the boner line.
Remind me to get a divorce.
Hey, guys. Love the show. First time boner. Hey, guys. Hey, Trudy. Welcome back to the show.
You miss me?
I didn't even realize how much I missed Trudy.
You love me?
And when she says words like groovy.
Aww.
And yeah.
Yeah.
And she's my favorite.
I love you too that much also.
She's been growing on me, man. I love you, Trudy.
No, I want you two to kiss each other.
Jeez. Love you.
Knock that boner.
Much.
Long time listener. Never seen the Sandlot either. I'm
47
years old. Just FYI.
It sucks to be you, man.
Hey, Brandon. I appreciate your passion for fantasy baseball, and I just felt I had to call in and share my fantasy baseball story with you. I am in a keeper league where we keep four players every year.
Who cares? Who gives a fuck?
Mike Trout's rookie year.
Whoa, let's stop talking with this guy.
Ooh, you keep talking about Boogie Nights and Marky Mark singing that song, and you keep saying that, you know, you love how bad the, you know, this original song is. That's not an original song. He's doing a cover of an actual song. It's a terrible actual song, but it's a real song.
You got the touch. You got the power.
Separated at birth for you. Amisha Barton on her Rage of whatever she's on with Ferris Bueller's sister. Both of them saying, I knew it.
I knew it.
Wow.
I've got a great bloop from the Go-Go's documentary. Gina Shock's band, House of Shock, when they show the picture of the band, I noticed down in the bottom left-hand corner had all the names of the band members under each one of them.
I can't read it. There's no words on it.
And down in the lower left-hand corner, this Vance DeGeneres was in the House of Shock.
That's
no way.
Vance DeGeneres being Ellen DeGeneres' brother. Vance DeGeneres was in House of Shock.
I'm so in love with my brother right now.
I just wanted to thank you for introducing all of us to that stupid fucking Alyssa Milano song. It's been stuck in my head for 2 weeks, and I caught myself humming it at work earlier. So, yeah, thanks for that, guys.
I was thinking about this. This whole situation we're in, the country's in, everything, is Gen X's fault.
I agree.
And indirectly and somewhat directly Mark's fault.
I agree.
There's no good Gen Xer that's running for president when they should be right now. And so we have to pick between these two damn geriatric boomer poons.
That's a bunch of malarkey.
And they're both fucking awful and
I'm sorry about that.
The officer had the marijuana brownies in Dearborn.
We made brownies, and I think we're dead. I really do.
He's actually no longer a cop there, but he's a cop in Las Vegas.
Las Vegas?
I think we're dying.
August 6th, episode, 1 hour, 24 minutes, Brandon lets out the softest, tiniest ripper I've ever heard in my life. I would have scrubbed it completely, just saying.
They had a story today about Pop Smoke and Mac Miller and Juice WRLD.
Sorry.
Hey, I'm listening to the August 6th episode, and you're interviewing that hotel dude,
And at 42:50, I swear to God, he says the guys came on his face.
Is that the first time you've been on TV? Because I don't recall seeing you on TV before.
Yeah, you can say that, because I just went outside for the work, and I seen the TV guy over there, and he just come to him on my face.
All this talk about Kelly Stafford has me wondering, did she ever send you guys a thank you card for the wedding gift you got her and Matthew?
What a stupid present.
Holy shit, just driving past what used to be the Silverdome, and Brandon wasn't fucking kidding. I don't know what that thing's going to be, but it's fucking huge.
I told you. What did I tell you? Didn't I tell you? Because I told you.
Okay, bye.
That's it for the day.
Okay.
Now, well, you know what we also got?
What?
A ton of calls from angry people.
Great.
That are very upset. That you and I were discussing getting dogs, and that we have not gotten rescue dogs.
And, I said I wanted to go to the pound.
Yeah, well, you can stop calling about that. I don't know why people are so angry about other people purchasing animals. I did go several times on the different various websites where you can search for the rescue dogs, and no, I didn't find any small dogs.
I didn't see many either.
I wanted a small dog. I wanted a hypoallergenic dog, and a lot of people called me pussy for that. Sorry. Sorry, I'm allergic to dogs. And
oh, is this Brandon's way of not playing the complaints? Because they involve
I can
him?
Play them. I no, mean, there's a whole bunch of them, people that are mad at you and I because...
I think they should be mad at you because you got a dog, and I didn't get a dog.
You can totally redeem himself still.
Yeah, I didn't get my dog from a puppy mill or anything like that.
My cat was a rescue cat. Does that count?
I've gotten some rescue animals.
Does that take some of the pressure away from the show?
I would like to look at dogs that have been abandoned or whatever. You know, I heard that 32-inch waist Dave Kim is involved.
Oh, that's
that.
Right. He is.
Yeah,
32-inch waist Dave. Is he still 32-inch?
I don't know. Last time I talked to him, he was doing very well.
He's a good Twitter follow, man. Korean Abdul Jabbar, I think his handle at Korean Abdul Jabbar. This is one of my all-time favorite Twitter handles.
Breaking news: we're number 105 in the comedy category, 109 in the comedy category. But that's actually for today, for this part of the week. That's pretty good because for some reason, you know, I guess all the shows release on one day or another
good
day.
Good for you.
So it's hard to score as high in those days.
If you guys didn't go to puppy mills, we'd break 100. Jeez.
Well, we could still do it. Maybe we'll make it tomorrow. Let's see. Are we still 109? 109. We're up 26 slots, though. It's pretty good.
Wow. Good for you.
And we're 205 in Canada.
All right.
Yeah. We've been killing it in Canada.
If we didn't go to puppy mills, you guys would be 200.
Well, some people like those little dogs, Brandon. Well, they paid $8,000 for.
Can I ask a legitimate question to... Do rescue dogs, are they ever puppies, or are they usually older?
No, see, so here's the thing is,
I don't know.
They can be younger.
Several
there are
sites
some.
Where you can specifically search, you know, male. I want a male dog, and I want a small, medium, blah, blah, blah.
Hyperallergenic,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, and I wanted a hypoallergenic dog who was smaller and who was male. I want a male dog because I don't want to have to deal with
so his handle look huge while he's petting it?
Shut up. Anyway. the only small dogs I can find are pit bulls on there. I swear to God, I've been searching and searching.
Well, you always wanted a pit bull.
Oh, well, tell Bentley because he'll want them.
Well, hey, that's right.
He loves pit bulls.
Betty's a pit. Betty's yeah. a good.
No, he wants to get five or five more of them.
Well, I love pit bulls, but they're not small dogs, and they're gonna leave landmines in my yard everywhere. And I want a tiny dog. I want tiny turds.
Wait, you can't. Are your hands so small you can't pick up a big dog's turd?
That is a ludicrous thing to say. No.
Well, no, you suggested
I'm actually hiding from the Zoom because I didn't want him to see me laughing.
You didn't want
number one, you're body shaming. Number two, I want small turds to pick up because they're easier to pick up. And
well, if your hands are small, I can understand. I'm seriously, I was being sympathetic.
You're so full of shit.
I'm sorry.
You know, in case they drop a deuce and I don't grab it, I'm not going to just... step my foot in it, it's gonna mush.
But Maddie's getting old enough, she'll be able to go out there and pick them all up. Give it
another
year.
Reason why I wanted a small dog. I want this dog to grow up with Madeline. I don't want Madeline and a dog that's 2, 3, 4, 5 years old to have to adjust to each other. And
how is Madeline behind you still?
No, she's upstairs. Thankfully, Kristen came home and took her up there.
I didn't see anyone come. Did I Kristen saw. Sneak under the camera?
No, she went, did. I saw her, yeah.
Okay. Let's call the hotel in Manhattan that you don't even have to name the hotel, but
yeah.
I just want to find out if indeed this is the hotel that had six homeless pedophiles staying there.
I want to know what they ordered for room service.
And that's a good question. And by the way,
do they have like? Do they use the swimming pool? are they working out in the?
They're 1,000 yards from an elementary school. This guy who had sex with a 4-year-old.
I think
sex with a 6-year-old.
I think the idea that they're using the pool and the facilities. I don't think they are, considering they're using the outside for a bathroom.
I'm sure they're using the gym like crazy, working out.
They're getting all ripped.
By the way, who pays for these rooms? Don't
well, correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought they get some kind of incentive or tax break because the rooms aren't getting used right now because of COVID.
Oh, I see.
So they're vacant.
So there's an advantage to taking homeless pedophiles in.
I believe so. And the news story, the update now is that the neighborhood is behind them.
Behind the hotel?
Yeah, there's like all these.
They like homeless pedophiles?
Chalk writings on the sidewalks and stuff.
Wait, saying what?
I'll show you the story. Just that in my backyard is a big thing.
For homeless pedophiles? I guess I should call them pedophiles.
Well, it's mainly about the homeless because they've removed the pedophiles.
Well, that's fine, but.
Good evening, Bronson.
Hi, I'm calling from the Drew and Mike Show. We're just calling to verify. Is this a hotel that had the six homeless pedophiles staying there?
In its beautiful landmark.
Whoa. Oh, I guess he's ringing us to one.
Okay.
Should we ask for a room?
Hello?
Hi, are we high speaking?
Yeah, I was calling. I just got transferred. If there's confusion, I apologize. But is this the hotel that was keeping the homeless pedophiles?
No.
No? Okay. I guess there was confusion.
Whoa, geez.
Wait, why'd you hang up?
I don't know. Well, should we call back? We were disconnected.
Yes.
Just saying.
Can you write down the hotel that we called? Is it start with a B?
No. No, you want to call that one?
That's the one that was in the page 6. That wasn't the hotel.
That's the hotel. That was the number Brandon gave me. Right.
No, that was one that I grabbed right from the story as well.
Yeah, start with a B and end with an R?
No, it started with an L.
That's this one.
What? Did they name two in the story? Yeah,
there's multiple hotels around
the
city that are
okay, cool.
But this one had the pedophiles that have since been removed and are probably just sleeping in front of it now.
Well, they're peeing outdoors anyway, so.
What's the difference? They're going to be outside sleeping instead of inside sleeping.
Hello, and thank you for calling. For general information about our six New York City hotels, visit us at www.hotels.com. Our hotel is temporarily closed to safeguard from the global pandemic. Our voicemail is monitored, and messages will be returned in 2 business days or less.
For personal assistance, press 0.
Why don't they put those homeless people to work and answer the phone?
Yeah, calls it dial 0, I guess.
Overlooking the Hudson River. Remember to visit
Most hotels shut down.
Enjoy a leisurely stroll through Central Park, located just a few blocks away.
Like
make
they have been
of your
since
New York
March.
Day that will last.
You have no one staying there. A boutique hotel like this one
is not available right now. Please wait for the tone to leave your message.
Okay.
For personal assistance, press 0.
I just did. All right, go ahead and leave a message.
All right. I was just trying to find out if this is the hotel that was keeping the homeless pedophiles, and also was wondering if they got room service. Thank you. Bye. Bye.
Yeah, so Holiday Inn.
Wasn't I separated birth of Pam Anderson there? When I said bye.
Bye, homeless people.
Bye, F.
Bye, homeless.
Bye, F.
Goodbye, F.
Goodbye, homeless.
This is the dumbest. I seriously think that's the dumbest post I've ever seen. Was he on Instagram after he
from
died?
Heaven, yeah. Instagram is so huge in heaven.
I mean, that was
slightly
such
behind Farmers Only.
I know it's silly of me because it happens so often, but these people that go, "You have to look at me,
dude."
I have. Look at me.
I get torn on that because mostly, especially with celebrities that nobody knows, there is a bunch of, hey, this one time I met this person, I'm sorry, he's passed.
Well, it's fun. I mean, it is fun if you have a story about the person that's topical, but just by half. But
most of the time, people don't. I remember when Robin Williams passed away, August 14th, hashtag never forget. I was a little annoyed by all these social media posts. I think that was the first time it hit me, all the social media posts, like, I'm really sad about Robin dying. I really loved all his work. And blah, blah, blah. And I just remember going, I don't remember yesterday everyone going, God, Robin Williams is one of the greatest actors.
He was big for my generation.
Really?
Genie. Oh, yeah. He was
your generation? Oh, were you watching Mork and Mindy in 78?
I don't remember Mork and Mindy.
Belongs to my generation.
Aladdin. That's like the only good thing he's done.
You didn't like Bicentennial Man?
He was in Hook, dum-dum.
Hook?
Yeah, he played Peter Pan.
No, I know what Hook is. What's the rotten... Drew, you want to guess the Rotten Tomatoes for Hook?
Hook? I don't even know that movie.
It's Peter Pan.
It's got Dustin Hoffman. Glenn Close is in it.
God, see, this is not in my wheelhouse, but I'll try it.
Huge stars.
Peter Pan, I'm going to say... Yeah. Because the people that watch it will really like it,
not to tip you off, but I remember this being a bomb, but it's also a cult hit, so... Meh.
Okay, then I'll say it'll get... Because I was going to say like 95, but I'll say...
Are we talking fans or are we talking critics?
Fans.
Oh, my God.
But I'll say...
Fine, if you want me to keep going, Jumanji, huh?
No.
Garbage.
I'm having trouble concentrating. 91?
76, audience. Okay.
I thought maybe there was a fake out going on there, because I was going to lower it, but...
Critics? You want to guess critics?
Okay, I'll say critics. Cult could mean critics like it, but...
He was in Jack...
I'll say critics. I'll say 58.
29.
Oh, man. You guys
wow.
29.
That reminds me. I saw.
What do you think its highest rated movie is, if I can find it?
Robin?
World's Greatest Dad.
Is it Awakenings?
Oh, man. Okay, now you're onto something.
That's a good movie.
That is a phenomenal movie.
You know what I saw?
I'm scrolling through all his Rotten Tomatoes.
About Good Will Hunting?
It's like Green Tomato, Green Splat.
Didn't he get an Oscar for Good Will Hunting? Didn't he get an Oscar for Good Will Hunting? There you go. Or what, Matt Damon did that incredible bath, quote, that bath project.
Okay, wait a sec. This is...
He was the janitor, and he was figuring out this incredible...
I find this intriguing. Because, you know, when they have the tomato, it's listed as, you know, fresh. So, I'm going to tell you all the fresh... Highly rated ones that he's had. World's Greatest Dad in 2009. Everyone remember that one, right?
Hey, that was a good movie.
It was okay.
More splats.
What about RV? Is that on there?
Great flick. Happy Feet, the animated cartoon.
I agree.
That I just went by about 10 bad ones. Robots, another animated film.
What about 1 Hour Photo?
How about Good Will Hunting?
Insomnia with Pacino.
Insomnia, yeah. That was disappointing.
1 Hour Photo.
But our photo is very scary.
Are you listening to the Drew Mike podcast over there?
Apparently.
Good Will Hunting, The Birdcage.
The Birdcage was very popular with a certain segment.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Mrs. Doubtfire was hilarious. He played a woman. So and Sally Field didn't even know it was her husband.
So, the kids didn't know, right? For
a
while?
Nobody do.
That's what a great actor he is.
It was a fantastic flick. Come on.
He was actually, Sally Field didn't know it was Robin Williams. Not only did the character not know it was her husband, but she didn't know it was Robin Williams. She thought it was real life Mrs. Doubtfire.
Don't forget. Good morning, Vietnam!
I hate that movie.
I also hate Moscow.
He won an Oscar for that, didn't he?
Oh, probably.
Why did you hate that movie? It's about radio and stuff, man.
Because it's not funny.
He didn't wear headphones.
Sure he did.
I don't think he did.
It's really whack. You remember how...
Good morning, Vietnam! First of all, Adrian Cronauer was not at all like that.
Remember how blown away Forrest Whitaker was when he first opened the mic? We got to play that scene. It's so dumb. Do you really like that movie, Brandon?
That's not my favorite one of his, no.
Okay, in all seriousness, do you like Robin Williams? Do you find him to be funny?
He belonged to his generation a minute ago.
don't think Robin Williams is bad at all. I have good memories of him as a child. I thought some of his stand-up were actually kind of funny.
I don't find him funny at all.
I don't know.
He definitely had the most jokes per minute when he's performing.
Good morning, Vietnam! Hey, this is not
Look at Forrest Whitaker. He's blown away.
Rock and roll. Time to rock it from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang.
Slow
da
down.
Da Nang me. Why don't I get
script a roll? Script is not very script. He just does it off the top of his head.
Too early for being that loud. Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early. Speaking of early, how about that Cro-Magnon Marty Dry?
I would so not want to hear this at 6 a.m.
Sound, make me sound like Peggy Lee.
Uh-oh, Lieutenant's pissed.
What the heck is that supposed to mean? I don't know, Lieutenant. I guess it means good morning, Vietnam. And who gave anyone permission to program modern music?
Freddie and the Dreamers.
Speed. We've got it on the wrong speed. For those of you who are recovering from a hangover, that's going to sound just right.
Let's put it right back down here. Let's try a little faster, see if that picks it up a little bit. Let's get up.
Listen to Count David Wood laughing when he was in Vietnam.
Well, look at Forrest Whitaker, man. He's about ready to pee his pants.
Oh, still a bad song.
Hey, wait a minute. Let's try something.
Let's play this backwards and see if it gets any better. Woof, there's Nivir. Freddy is a devil. Woof, there's Nivir. Freddy is a devil.
That's Robin Williams doing that.
Just play the song, Adrian.
Journey beyond sight and sound. He's left Crete. He's
entered I would have punched the dial so fast on this.
There's first. Look at him.
All right. Hey, what is this demilitarized on? What do they mean, police action?
Sounds like a couple of cops.
Oh, well, Lieutenant Hawk is pissed.
Hey, whatever it is. I like it because it gets you on your toes better than a strong cup of cappuccino.
Man, I'm losing respect for the military because they're laughing at this.
It's so bad. Did you see? Did you see Robin Williams trending? By the way, the documentary about the end of his life that's coming out, the trailer looks really, really good.
You know, is it Robin Williams' final days?
Yeah.
Can I see the trailer?
Yeah, I'll pull it up. But Robin Williams trended the other day. Did you see why?
Wait.
This
I
is
did
how
see
dumb,
this.
This is how dumb social media is.
Was it the anniversary of his death? He would have been 69.
It's coming up on the 14th, right?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, never forget. Well, I saw something about his daughter, Zelda.
Yeah, that's not what I'm talking about. So what happened is Eric Trump tweeted out a clip of one of his stand-ups from, like, 2009. And, like, the time Robin Williams viciously tore into Joe Biden. And it's a clip.
Oh, right.
Not funny clip because it's Robin Williams. But they show the clip. Then, of course, what do you think happens? Everybody digs up the time Robin Williams viciously savaged Donald Trump.
Including Zelda. She came out and Zelda said, you should have seen what he wanted to say about Trump.
What did he say about Biden in 2009?
Do you want to see it? I'll see if I can find it.
I kind of want to see the trailer, but yeah, I'm curious to see what Eric Trump thought was so worth tweeting.
I'll find it. Hang on.
It actually wasn't that good.
Oh, God, I hate
that. No, pardon. It's never that good. Oh, Donald Trump has tweeted out his first attack ad against Kamala Harris.
Seriously?
Let's see. Robin Williams. Okay, you type in Robin Williams on Twitter, and the first thing that pops up is Joe Biden, then Trump. Here you go.
We still have great comedy out there. There's always rambling Joe Biden. What the fuck? Joe says shit that even people with Tourette's go, no. No. What is going on? Joe is like your uncle who's on a new drug and hasn't got the dosage right. I'm proud to work with Barack America. He's not a superhero, you idiot. Come here. When FDR was on television, there was no TV back then. Come here, Joe. Sit down.
Savage.
The audience is really laughing hard. Again, I don't know if I'm the smartest person in the world or the dumbest person in the world. I'm really not sure.
I know someone, I will not name them, but they did one of those like desert islands. If you could be stuck with anybody, any celebrity on a desert island, and they picked Robin Williams.
Oh my God.
And I said, why do you want to commit suicide?
That would be so punishing.
All right.
Okay, what's he say about Trump?
Here it is. It's just not equally not funny. But
a traditional Thanksgiving in Atlantic City. What a wonderful place to go. The boardwalk's a bit run down, though. It's kind of like the Wizard of Oz on acid. Junkies and pimps and pizza. Oh, my.
And Donald Trump is the Wizard of Oz. He is the guy. It's a man. He plays Monopoly with real fucking buildings. This is a scary man. And he owns all these beauty pageants, Miss America, Miss Universe. Isn't that a bit like Michael Vick owning a series of pet stores? It's like...
That's a joke.
You actually laughed.
It's a fucking catch and release program for him. This is a man who said, my daughter is hot. Even people in Arkansas went, that's fucking wrong. That's just way out of place. And that fucking hair, my God. I believe the hair is the Donald. I believe that's it. I believe the body is a maintenance system for the hair. He goes home at night going, we're home. Hey, fuck it, let's get out of here now. I'll fuck her, let's do this.
That last part is kind of funny.
Okay, the trailer. Is the trailer long? Hopefully not. I feel like we've spent too much time on Robin Williams.
We've spent way
I think
too
that we spent just enough time.
What's your brain doing when 10,000 people are laughing their heads off?
I'm not a tuna.
The human brain is, you know, an extraordinary 3.5-pound gland.
Go get him, you little crazy guy.
Good night, Alice. The moment you think you understand it, it comes out with something else.
The breaking news, actor Robin Williams is dead at the age of 63.
Is that Don Lemon?
He's Don Lemon. Bay Area resident committed
Why
suicide.
Is he breaking it?
There was Robin's favorite a lot newscaster. Of media speculation.
Did Robin sniff his penis
Robin
one time?
Williams
oh, God. That's disgusting.
What? There it's, was a lot of
It has
media.
A basis in truth. At least the possibility of it.
Suicide.
There was a lot of media speculation.
On Robin Williams' mind before his death, money.
He's broke or he's depressed or he's just given up.
The last movie was clear to all of us on that set that something was going on with Robin.
There was something eroding within him.
I was called in to go over the coroner's report. It was the beginning of understanding what had really gone on.
My husband had unknowingly been battling a deadly disease.
Lewy body dementia is a devastating illness, increases anxiety, self-doubt, causes delusions that have never been present in someone.
Nearly every region of his brain was under attack. He experienced himself disintegrating.
I remember him saying to me, I don't know what's going on, I'm not me anymore.
It really amazed me that Robin could walk or move at all.
People who are incredibly brilliant can tolerate degenerative diseases better. Robin Williams was a genius.
He was always able to power through it.
A genius?
And he'd become this guy that you knew, remembered, and loved.
The way that he was able to battle the inner turmoils, he was a freaking warrior.
It no longer feels loyal to be silent about it, but maybe more loyal to share.
Oh, he was God. Blessed with what his heart was capable of. In the midst of fear, he wanted to help people be less afraid.
Can this documentary get a room with Robin Williams? Jeez.
It's called Robin's Wish. But just it's such a horrific disease, as you know.
Oh, yeah. My dad had it.
Yeah. It's just frightening. I mean,
he was 94 when he got it, but
put yourself in Robin Williams' shoes and you feel yourself.
No, it's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. It's just that I feel there's this need to say that, you know, he battled it better than anyone ever battled it or something.
That always happens when people die.
I don't know that he battled it. He killed himself. It doesn't seem like he stopped battling when he killed himself.
He's not a hero. I prefer people who don't get caught. I know.
And
understand.
Is he a genius? Is he really a genius?
I understand what you mean.
Matt Damon is a genius.
When people die young and die early, people will say that stuff about him. But he was a voice of Brandon's generation, so.
That's true.
I wouldn't say he's the voice of my generation, but he had a lot to do with some films that were in my childhood.
I guess he belongs more to your generation. That's okay. Have you watched Mork and Mindy reruns?
I actually have never seen Mork and Mindy.
Yeah, you're lucky. Although Jonathan Winter's great. What? No? You think Jonathan Winter's and Mork and Mindy? Was it Murph? Was that his name?
I think it was.
Didn't he play? He was.
I like Jonathan Winters. I didn't like that Jonathan Winters and Robin Williams thought that they were both geniuses.
Yeah, they did have a.
I think
odd
they felt there was permission. I think they had a deal to call the other one a genius.
Brandon, get this: Robin Williams was his father. Was the father of Murph? So he's an older man. That was his baby.
He took it in baby voice.
All right, I gotta see some Murph. I'm sorry.
I swear to God, at Virginia Tech, my teammates used to have Mork and Mindy night, like viewing parties, and I didn't really go because I didn't think it was funny. I just thought it was stupid.
It is stupid.
I mean, do people still? I mean, why isn't Mork and Mindy on in prime time now if it was so good?
It's probably on MeTV, right?
I worked with the guy though who had 90210 viewing parties the entirety of his high school career.
Well, we had Beretta Fests. Now that was reasonable.
Beretta Fest.
Well, we used to watch PO5 all the time.
Beretta Fest, were at the house of the guy whose mom ate the pot brownies and went to the hospital because she thought she was having a stroke. Ursay was always at Beretta Fest, by the way. He's a big fan.
Oh, wow. There's a clip of Jonathan Winters and Robin Williams in Funniest Moments on Johnny Carson.
I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of laughter, but not much funny.
Why can't I not find Murph? Maybe people didn't.
Well, while you're looking,
wait, this one might be it.
Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and DealsNitty.com is all fired up because they've worked around the coronavirus successfully. They're back at full strength, and people are getting their vehicles delivered to them. If they're not comfortable coming in, it can all be done without physically being there. The Zot dealerships have quickly and safely adapted to ensure to continue to deliver you the world-class experience you deserve. And during the Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Drive Forward event, feel free to go online and enjoy their enhanced online shopping. They've got the 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn for only $188 a month. If you dig Jeeps, the 2020 Loaded Jeep Compass at just $155 a month. Always the new 2020 Jeep Grand Cherokee as low as $247 a month. And the Wrangler. Employee pricing, Zot employee pricing for everyone on the Wrangler. 0% financing and $1,500 in rebates if you want a new Jeep Wrangler right now. Speaking of right now, go to DealsNitty.com. Surf their amazing, incredible selection.
I found the birth of mirth. There he is, coming out of an egg. Just like Mork did.
I'm sure my teammates were wrecked.
Because it's old man Jonathan Winters. Not even doing it.
Man, I should be laughing about this.
It's a man.
Oh, that must have been the end of the episode. Well, Jonathan Winters didn't do anything.
It's
not funny.
I'm curious. Will somebody email me if you thought Mork and Mindy, if you still think it was hilarious? I just want to know if people still think it was, because I didn't at the time. I didn't think it was that funny. I got off a bad start with Robin Williams. Maybe that's why he works better with Brandon's generation. He just got off to bed. Start with us.
He was okay. He was a good dramatic actor.
I loved him in Awakenings.
Yeah,
Good Will Hunting. Yeah. You like Good Will Hunting?
Not terribly.
By the way, they had the top earning actors.
Yeah,
list from 2019. Or is this 2020? It's got to be 2019, right? Because 2020 isn't over. Okay. The Rock is number one.
Yeah, no surprise.
He's got a...
He rules.
Movie
WWF, coming in, baby. That's the power of wrestling.
Yeah?
He's got a movie coming to Netflix, too, which he was paid $23.5 million for, Red Notice.
That sounds like a great one.
Ryan Reynolds, $71.5 million. Wahlberg, $58 million. Spencer Confidential was the third most watched original Netflix movie. Ben Affleck was number four. I was blown away by that.
What's he been in? Other than that,
he's been rehab
coach. he played that coach.
Way back. That was a good movie. I thought it was pretty good.
Really? That was the movie that was supposed to have a bunch of diverse women working on it, and I think one of the nine top positions was a woman. Right?
Yes. But the movie wasn't bad. In spite of the lack of diversity, I thought it was a decent movie.
In spite of the lack of diversity.
The last thing he wanted, I don't even know what that movie is. I don't even know what that movie is. The Diesel was fifth.
Really?
What did The Diesel do?
Dude, he must be loaded.
Did he do another Fast and Furious or something?
I don't think so. No, I don't think he did. But he made $54 million on something.
The Diesel.
Sixth place is some guy named Ashley Kumar who works for something called Bollywood. I ain't never heard of him. Where's Bollywood? What is that?
India.
I don't even think that counts.
No.
Ashley.
I don't even believe that exists. Lin-Manuel Miranda... $45.5 million for Hamilton.
To that point, there was a story in Variety today. A company tracks everything that's streamed,
Yes.
So, like, for instance, June of 2020, the most streamed thing on any platform was Space Force. Okay. And at 8.3%. Floor is Lava, which is, I think that's on Netflix, the game show, 8%. The Office, 6.6%.
God, people love watching The Office.
13 Reasons Why, 5.6. Queer Eye, 3.8. Frozen 2, 3.4. Now you jump to July. So just keep those. 8.3 was the highest. July, Palm Springs, 8.1%. Hannah, which is on Amazon, 9.6%. The Old Guard on Netflix, which is that terrible movie with Charlize Theron in it, where I was telling you about. I started watching it, and it's just so terrible. 10.6%. Unsolved Mysteries, 13.7%.
Watched it all.
And number one for July, Hamilton, 37.1%.
Oh, my God. Those poor people were forced to watch that. I bet half the people were totally bummed, and the other half were pretending up. They liked it.
Knock it off. It's great. Graf likes it.
He didn't like it. He has to say he likes it. He's a critic.
Isn't that crazy?
Lin-Manuel Miranda made $45.5 million and gave nothing to BLM until they pressured him.
He kind of drives me nuts.
Will Smith made $44.5 million. I don't know why.
This is 2020, by the way.
It is 2020, but it's not even over. They projected their earnings.
I think because the movies that are going to be released in 2020 are already filmed and everybody is paid for. Okay. So,
well, Will Smith is playing King Richard as the father of Serena Williams and the sister that sucked.
The murderer?
Yeah. Well, no, wasn't Serena the murderer? Who's the sister that sucked?
Venus.
Venus, yeah. Venus just won because Serena was playing doubles with her. She's the poor sister.
Wait, so who's the murderer? I thought Venus was
I thought it was Serena. Oh, maybe it was Venus.
Brandon, you know, because we talked about this the other day. Didn't we? You and I talk about it?
Well, Will Smith's playing. Actually, I'm kind of interested in that movie because the father sounds like kind of a whack job. Sandler was number 9 with $41 million. Wow. He's got 4 more Netflix movies coming. I don't know. I'm trying to think of the last thing I love Sandler, but I just haven't liked that much.
The last movie that he was part of, that was part of his deal, was The Wrong Missy. With Spade in it.
Oh, that was good. Okay.
Wasn't that a Happy Madison production?
He wasn't in it, was he?
No, but it's his production company.
I know, but I'm dumb. You know, so if he's not in the movie, I just don't think he has anything to do with the movie.
You know the story behind that? Do you know how many of Happy Madison's his production company, are filmed in Hawaii because it's just a good getaway for him and his buddies?
Oh, hey, what's wrong with that?
No, it's pretty smart of him.
And Jackie Chan was number 10. And I had no idea Jackie Chan was still churning movies out, but he had 5 movies this year.
How's his daughter doing?
Oh, can we check on her?
What was her name?
I don't know. She's nose?
But he doesn't take care of her. Doesn't he ignore her, and she's mad at him.
Edda
she has no money.
Edda Ning Chok Lam, isn't that her name?
Sounds right.
Does that look like her?
Wouldn't she pick her nose in the video where she was asking for help?
Yeah, that was 2 years ago. There's no update on it.
What if she's still with that other girl? The other girl picked her nose, actually.
Yeah.
It wasn't her.
Wait, here you go. May 2nd, 2020, the last update.
Who is a lesbian?
Is it a pose? Is there a pose?
Jackie Chan's daughter, Edda Ng, claims she and girlfriend are homeless due to home. Wait, we knew that.
They're still homeless. It should be read.
Yeah. That's stupid.
Why could two... Wait, they're like... One of them is like 21 now, and the other one's 33 or 34, I think. Yes. You have two healthy bipeds. Neither one of them can manage to work in all that time and put together, $600 a month for some shitty place to stay.
No,
but true. The father of one of them is wealthy, therefore they shouldn't work.
Oh, okay. I forgot about that part.
The owner of a hostel in Hong Kong asked for payment from Edda Ng for her stay there. She only had $3.50.
That reminded me of. Remember when Regis died, last week?
Yeah.
There was not much said about his disabled son, who always is out there going, "My dad doesn't help me at all!"
I don't even...
Yeah, he was in the Inquirer a couple times saying that, he's in a wheelchair, and his dad has disowned him and won't give him any money and won't help him. And I think Howard had him on a couple times.
Are you talking about Danny? Because I thought Danny died.
Oh. His son? His disabled son?
Yeah,
I didn't know he died, but I just remembered. They didn't say anything about him in Regis's when he died.
Oh. Yeah, Danny Philbin died in 2015.
Okay. Had Regis and him, had they sort of buried the hatchet?
Did Regis go to the funeral?
Well, before that, the U.S. Department of Defense honored Danny in 2002.
Really?
Yes. Was Regis there?
Did Regis show up for the ceremony?
Because he remained on the job despite the flames burning near his office after a terrorist-flown airliner crashed into the Pentagon on September 11th, 2001.
Wait, but he was already disabled by that point because the Enquirer stories were way back.
Well, he was born with a spinal cord defect, and it ultimately led to the amputation of both his legs.
Oh, that's right.
I didn't know much about Danny
Philbin.
Regis
was pissed, I guess, because he didn't want to have a disabled son or something, so he just abandoned him.
I didn't see any of that.
No?
But you know the one thing I haven't seen? You know, there was a lot of people honoring Regis, but every once in a while
I want to take this back. If I'm completely wrong about this, maybe this is somebody else. I thought it was an Enquirer story. Regis Philbin's. Wait, could this be his good son and he has an evil son, an evil twin?
In the meantime.
Breaking news with Mort Krim.
Cool.
So Andy Autumn and Etta Ng, the daughter of Jackie Chan, got married.
What?
And then
the one that we saw in the video?
Yeah, they ended up getting married not that long after that. And then turns out, let's see, July 16, 2019, they've deleted each other's photos on Instagram.
Oh, no.
Oh, I found it. I found the video of the wedding.
Oh, you did? Great, great. Excellent.
I want to be clear. This is not a gay wedding. Because now, we're living in a world in which men and women don't exist. Which means gay doesn't either. So this is just a regular wedding. But it's still special. Because it's the hottest type of regular wedding. With two smoking hot people about to make a very public display of affection. I feel like Bill Clinton right now. A simple man between two legendary Bushes. One of them a little older. Now, at a certain point, I'm going to ask these two ladies to kiss. A display that once would have been considered too hot for TV. And heck, I'll admit, I was part of the problem. But now I just watch
part of the problem.
How far we've come. What a glorious couple. What they lack in interconnecting parts, they make up for in love. As they scissor through the chains of ignorance. Strap on! It's going to be a wild ride.
Oh, boy. Okay, here's the Enquirer story. Regis Philbin coldly turned his back on his kids from his first marriage, Danny and Amy, because his second wife, Joy Philbin, wanted nothing to do with them. Now, why wasn't... No, this isn't an obituary.
No.
Regis Philbin coldly turned his back on his kids. Blah, 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 blah. That's the shameful charge from legless Danny's ex-wife, Judy Philbin, who blasts Regis and Joy as despicable, for the way they shunned the children from his marriage to Catherine Phelan. They're evil, she told a source for the National Enquirer. And there's Regis and Joy just looking happy, smiling. Hey, we don't have to deal with that disabled brat. What?
Doctor visits.
I'm sorry.
Joy and I are going to see the doctor.
Let me pick up that tab. My disabled Brad is not at least. And his stupid wife. What Joy and him did to those two kids because they were not her children was despicable. They didn't want to have the responsibility of caring for a disabled child, so they put Danny in a home for mentally challenged kids.
Oh, man.
After 12 years of marriage, Regis divorced Catherine in 1969, wed Joy a year later. Joy claims the new couple raised their daughters, Joanna and Jennifer, like royalty, while their neglect drove crippled Danny, who was born with a spinal condition that led to amputation of his legs, into a deep depression. She insists Regis also catapulted Amy into a long battle with drug addiction. Wow, he catapulted her into it?
Yeah.
What did he do? Was it like a fireman's carry thing? Where he just like launched her over a fence and there was a big pile of pills on the other side? The talk show star finally came to her rescue in 2006 when Amy was near death, said Judy, noting that he moved from a crime-riddled area in L.A. to a two-story home in a decent neighborhood. Oh, there's Danny in his picture. Hey, wait, Regis is with his kid. That's after 1969.
Oh, yeah, he's taking care of him.
Pushing his wheelchair.
He's taking care of him, man.
I mean, the kid's screaming because they're going down a hill and Regis is letting him go, but okay. He is pushing him.
Use your brakes! Apply the brakes!
He purchased that home for her and that was it, he says. It was in ruins when I went there. Meanwhile, by 2009, Danny and Judy were in such a terrible fix, they borrowed money just to eat.
Whoa.
Once word broke, Regis, worth an estimated $150 million, reached out to reconcile with his struggling son. Hey, there's a picture of him. Look, they're
pretty happy there.
Oh, yeah. Looks like you lost some weight. I guess
Daddy.
Not eating.
Well, Danny was, yeah, obviously. But Danny, who Judy, who divorced Danny 4 years, oh, you divorced him, for his 2014 death, said the reunion was just a public relations stunt to make aging Regis look like a caring dad. Well, they never bonded.
Aging Regis.
He never came to visit us.
Jeez.
Hi, Regis.
That's unfortunate.
It's very sad.
Well, let's see what the comments are.
Meanwhile, Jackie Chan's daughter and the wife have deleted their Instagram pages. So not only do they take their pictures down, they've told I can't find their Instagram page at all.
Let's see. Anne says, there's always two sides to every story. If the first marriage is miserable, maybe due to his ex-wife's demeanor.
Oh, yikes.
And she had custody. It may have been the case that she kept kids from spending time with him. This happens often.
The knives are out.
This is one bitter person story.
Hell hath no fury.
Who watches these evil TV personalities? They're all greedy and fake. Okay, so just letting the public have their comments.
I'm fucking stupid. He's playing this out.
Oh, I just noticed something because there's a little story here about Kelly Preston. I was watching this Roy Scheider movie.
Oh, yeah.
Roy Scheider, I thought he was pretty cool, actually. I don't know why. But anyway, he is playing this guy that has this, it's like a metals. He's like a metallurgy expert or something.
A what?
Metallics, metals. I don't know. Okay. I don't even know what to call it. But he had a factory, and he'd invented this combination of metals that did something that the government wanted to buy for defense.
Wow.
And
sounds like a great one.
Yeah, he made tons of money. No, there's very little on that. He made tons of money, and his wife.
Oh, sounds like a great one.
His wife was Anne Margaret.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and she looked pretty good, too. She was in, this is in like 86. I always thought she was.
I would rather have a circle jerk with my dad and grandpa than see this flaming turd of a movie.
Wait a second. You've heard the best part. So then all of a sudden, one day, he gets kidnapped.
What?
And they take him to this, no, he's going to visit his mistress's apartment, which he pays for, I think.
Uh-huh.
His mistress is really young. In fact, his mistress, and this is 1986, is Kelly Preston.
There you go.
Yeah. And so they have been spying on Roy, and they've been filming his every move, and they've got all this video of him with Kelly Preston, him even through a window of a hotel room, and she's butt naked, and they're about to get it on.
Nice.
It turns out that Kelly Preston's part of this, and they're demanding $105,000 ransom, which is like, oh, why didn't you just write a check? It's a big deal. I mean, it sounds so silly in 2020, hearing how much $105,000. Yeah. Oh my God!
Is this movie called 52 Pickup?
Yes. And I didn't keep watching it because
did you go to Mr. Skin to watch?
I would rather pack my rectum full of M80s and squat over a flaming hibachi than see this movie.
I guess I could have done that. I didn't though. But Kelly Preston, oh man, oh, well, she looked good. She must have been 20 in that movie.
I'm going to Mr. Skin to check it out.
She's hot. Kelly Preston was beautiful.
We should get Skin on again. He's probably got something.
Oh, there is something going on with Skin.
Oh, really?
He's coming on the week of 24th through the 28th because there's a movie about. Wait, is it about? It's there's a movie about nudity in movies.
Oh, really?
And so he is one of the segments, I guess.
Oh, so he's coming to talk about himself.
Absolutely. What else would he talk about?
Well, nudity.
Well, he'd be talking about the nudity, too. I mean, it's an important subject.
Oh, here she is in 52 Pickup with her butt.
Too bad we hadn't had time to score this shit, but we're working on it.
Ooh, there's her butt.
Jesus, Mitch, you don't mind my saying so, but for a guy who was a major in the Air Force, decorated in Korea, and now a successful businessman, you got fucking rocks in your head.
I'd rather play Spin the Plunger with a New York City cop than see this film.
Those are the kidnappers saying that to him. You got rocks in your head.
So you need to look at the clips from Mischief in 1985. Those are the clips.
Really?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Double Cross, Mischief.
All right.
There's another scene from 52 Pickup, but that sounds stupid. He doesn't have Mischief on the site, Brandon.
What? Oh, it's got to be.
Oh, wait, here you go.
Let me see.
Bush.
He wrote, Mrs. Travolta reveals her renowned rack, a bit of butt, and even a flash of Furburger.
It's got a bush.
When she duffs her duds and gets ready for some loving. Outstanding. He gives it 4 out of 4 stars.
Yeah.
Why won't it load?
Furburger.
Well, nobody says Furburger or bearded clam anymore, but those are just big skin. Terms when I was a kid.
Just skin.
I guess.
He always says Furburger. It won't load. Come on. Oh, here we go. Ooh. Oh, come on. Our boners are on deck.
We're just about to get it on. It just keeps spinning and spinning and spinning.
Let's see this Furburger.
All right.
Wow. You're a beautiful girl.
Oh, here you go. Is that Ellen with her? Does that guy look like Ellen?
No, that's Vance DeGeneres.
Vance.
Careful taking their clothes off.
No, slow down. Is this how people did it in the 50s?
And the answer you give.
Look how delicate he's being with her brassiere.
Be the same.
She was hot.
For as long as we live.
Oh, man. That's that actor's greatest moment right there. And putting both hands on her breasts.
He does look like Vance DeGeneres, doesn't he?
Does.
Vance DeGeneres is a rock star?
Dude, that guy on the boner line was not lying.
Isn't looked, Gina
oh,
Shock's
gross.
Band?
She's got a giant bush. No!
What a waste of, she's really pretty. What was she doing with Travolta?
I don't know. You would think money.
He wanted
but
a Hoagie.
He wasn't famous when they got together, right? Wasn't it Pulp Fiction that brought him back?
Oh, no. Come on. He was famous
from Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah, but wasn't his career really down?
Yeah, it went down. But you know what brought him back? That stupid movie where the baby talks.
Oh, Look Who's Talking.
So dumb. I can't believe it was a big hit.
But it was. Look Who's Talking 2 is even better.
Look Who's Talking.
Hey, I wanted to say something about, what was I doing? How did I get in this rabbit hole? I was watching, I guess I was just in YouTube. And for some reason, maybe I was anticipating my new Bose speaker. But I started.
There that was one a, guy is shaking his head at you right now.
There was a track of Cream from 1968. They were playing at the, I think it's called the Revolution Club. And they're playing "Sunshine of Your Love," and I'm going, "Oh my God, that bass! That bass, though, Jack Bruce.
Yeah,
what a badass bass player! Just an amazing bass line, "Sunshine of Your Love." So I remembered that I went to Pine Knob and saw Ringo's All Star Band around 2007 or 8 or something like that. And Jack Bruce's bass, it was like the whole building was shaking. It was so loud. It was awesome. He sounds like Clapton when he sings, too. Kind of weird.
It's getting near dawn. When nights close the tired eyes, I'll soon be with you.
I feel like the bass isn't loud enough on this one, man.
It could be louder.
Let me see if I can find another one.
When if you put on, let's see.
Let's try this one.
Ringo Live in Michigan. I think they have the Pine Knob performance I'm talking about.
Oh, really?
Maybe.
Let's try this.
Although it didn't seem that loud. But Frampton is playing with Jack Bruce.
This could be it.
And Frampton is also singing Clapton's parts. One of those weird songs where two lead singers sing, Clapton and Jack Bruce. And Frampton takes his Clapton spot.
I still don't think the bass is high enough in that one, man.
Well, in the middle of the song, there's kind of a go like a couple minutes in, or is this Cream or? Is this Cream or Ringo's All-Star Band?
This is some guy playing along with Cream.
Get out of here.
Bass cover. You wouldn't believe the amount of bass covers for this song.
Oh, I'm sure there are. Anyway, in this Ringo band live in Michigan, Sunshine of Your Love, there's two drummers, Simon Kirk and Ringo playing. And then Clapton, instead of Clapton, it's Frampton. It's like a Clapton traded straight up for Frampton. I think it helped both teams. And Frampton and Jack Bruce just kill it, as they did in Cream. And I thought about...
This is it?
Yeah, I guess that's Frampton, isn't it?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. It got me thinking about three pieces, too, because actually, if you think about it, Cream traded Jack Bruce straight up for Steve Winwood to make Blind Faith. They should have gotten a bass player to be named later.
I like the dual drummers.
Yeah, they're right on it, too. That's Bad Company's drummer with Ringo. I mean, listen to that bass.
Yeah. Boom, boom, boom. The bigger the cushion, the sweeter.
It sounds like that.
I have read. I know you and Bentley were having quite the music party yesterday, man.
Yeah, we were jamming. We were absolutely jamming. yeah, Bentley likes so much music.
He does.
He's got a very broad musical palette.
Yes.
So anyway, while I'm going back and listening to these Cream songs, and what's his name? Ginger Baker is just killing it on the drums, and I'm going, God, that is just the best three piece. So anyway, I started reading about Cream, and there was a story next to it about, you know, the best three pieces ever. And there's a list. And so I actually texted Gary to say, Gary, what's your favorite three-piece? Gary sends me a list of about 40 three-piece bands.
Oh, that's funny.
And they did have a list. And these lists are always, they always cause arguments because...
You're not going to believe this, but Rick Beato has a...
Oh, he's got a three-piece list?
He has a thing on Power Tree. I'll preview it. Go ahead.
I think I'd almost rather hear his list than this list.
Well, I don't know if it's a list or if he's just rambling about the Power Trio.
Well, it's always a list with him.
Six
isn't
minutes.
It?
No, it doesn't seem to be a list. He just
okay.
He in this episode, he discusses the rise in history of the Power Trio.
Okay, maybe we'll just do it after the list. First of all, the Goo Goo Dolls were on the list, which annoyed me.
What?
Oh,
they are a three piece. And
yeah, but
okay. And then the other thing is, they never include the Who or the Doors in three-piece discussions, because the singer, I guess, is considered the fourth piece. But if you have a singer who only sings, then it's kind of a three-piece.
Yeah, but not really.
Not quite the same thing.
No.
I agree. The Manic Street Preachers are in that category, too. And I only mention them because they're so cool, because Richie Edwards, who was in the Manic Street Preachers, disappeared and was never found, which makes them 10 times cooler. Three pieces, though, that didn't make the top 20 were the Meat Puppets, Violent Femmes, both whom I think are great. Minutemen, the Melvins.
The Femmes are underrated.
They are. That first album is fantastic.
It's really, really good.
The Melvins, Stray Cats. You know who is a three-piece?
Stray Cats. Wow.
Yeah, that's a great three-piece.
I thought about them in ages. Yeah.
Gary actually mentioned that Marshall Crenshaw's band was a three-piece when they started. And that first album is fantastic. His brother's on drums, too.
Is Sublime on there?
Sublime is on there. Yes. You know what, though? Sublime didn't make the top 20, which I was kind of... I don't know about that. The Jam, who are, you know, from 77 to 82, there was no bigger band in the UK. I don't know why they weren't bigger over here. The Modfather, of course, Paul Weller. And the Jam had a lot of great songs. I love the Jam. They were 28.
Jam!
The James Gang was 25 with Walsh. We talked about them yesterday. Sublime was 23. America was 22. Really? And then CSN was 20. It's like, wait, CSN is CSNY minus Y, which is a big loss. So it's even hard to consider them a three-piece.
Is Silverchair on there?
Silverchair was
on. Well, you get a calculator to solve it.
There was a list of the top 100 three-pieces, and Silverchair was like 80, which cracked me up.
Is TLC on there? Are they considered three-piece?
Who?
Destiny's Child.
Oh. I don't know.
They play instruments.
Blink 182 was 19.
Yeah.
Double Trouble, Stevie Ray Vaughan, fantastic. 18. The Benfolds, 5? I just wouldn't picture them being in the top 20 of any category, but, I mean, they're good. but 17 ahead of...
Yeah, it seems awfully high.
ELP, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, probably just because they have three names. But they did make a lot of noise for a three-piece.
Yeah.
Grand Funk at 15.
Grand Funk.
Yeah.
And that band, they had a great sound for a three-piece. Husker Du at 14. Jim Bentley, maybe disappointed that Muse is number 13.
They should be higher.
I thought they
They're
should
pretty
be,
good.
Too. They should.
They're really good.
Green Day is 12.
Not surprised.
King's X is 11. Primus 10.
Hell yeah.
There you go.
Genesis 9, because Genesis is a three-piece for a long time when Gabriel left. Man. Triumph at 8. What? That seems high.
Really?
Really? That's kind of what I said. At number 7, everyone knows what I'm talking about when I say, top! Top!
I put the ZZs on you.
Top! The ZZs.
Isn't that what Red said?
Yes. The Police at number 6. They might be my favorite three-piece. They might
really?
Be.
Really?
Well, I just like The Police a lot.
I think you're being hyperbolic.
I like their sound too. I thought they mixed the. I just thought it was a great.
If you did
mix.
This list, I don't, you would not have them number one.
Motorhead number 5. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Nirvana, than I thought.
Nirvana number 4.
Yeah.
Rush number 3. Rush has to be up there pretty yep. high.
All right. Oh, yeah. So 2 and 1 has to be Cream or Jimi Hendrix?
Cream is 2. Jimi Hendrix Experience is number 1. And left off the list, The Cure were a three-piece for a good while.
Huh.
And, you know, I asked Gary about Depeche Mode. Weren't they a three-piece?
What about the Bee Gees?
I'm not sure they were a three-piece exactly.
Was there Thin Lizzy pieces. A three-piece? Thin Lizzy was three.
Gary Moore was in that. Gary Moore, Phil Lynott.
Phil Lynott and Brian Downey, right?
Was it just three? Is that all they had? He's very underrated, by the way. I kind of like Thin Lizzy. Beastie Boys are not on the list. Are they a three-piece, technically?
Yeah.
Although,
you know what? When they started doing their own music, they
added pieces.
They had a keyboard, yeah. Money Mark. And
okay.
And
did you say Three Dog Night?
They were not a three-piece, I don't believe, were they? Isn't a three-dog night have to... Isn't that an expression for something? Like when an Eskimo lets you bang his wife for 3 nights or something?
Seriously?
Or let you bang his 3 daughters for a night?
Well, no, who was on kidding. There? Danny Hutt and Corey Wells and Chuck Negron, but who...
I just don't know what the name three-dog night does not mean they're a three-piece. I don't think. Hmm. Okay. You could be onto something, Brandon. Look it up.
I could Google it, but I didn't hear aha either.
Ooh, aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The most famous band from Norway, right?
It's true. Anyway, yeah. So let's see what Rick Beato says.
Oh,
the Prodigy.
I'm totally ready to rag on him.
I went
Everclear.
I don't think he's going to tell you anything different, Drew.
You're really down on this Beato.
Because it's not a list.
How about the Dixie Chicks?
please. They're the Chicks.
Oh, sorry about that.
Also, Christopher Cull, who is the world's biggest Fish fan, sent me the top 50 Jerry songs, Jerry Garcia songs from yeah. Rolling Stone. I thought it was worth a mention because Chris,
he
sends so many emails, and they're so good. Instead of reading the top 50 Jerry songs, I'll just go do this. I'll read the top 10, and I'll say that Casey Jones, disappointing at 21. It. How could that be 21? Touch of Grey, his only top 10 hit at 14. But the top 10 was Scarlet Begonias, 10.
From the Mars Hotel in 74. Sugary, 72. St. Stephen, the 11, 69. Wharf Rat at 7. Bertha Grateful from 71 at number 6. Ripple at number 5. Friends of the Devil at 4. Eyes of the World from 73. Dark Star, number 2, and Uncle John's Band, number 1 from 1970.
Now, because Jerry had just passed away, what did you guys say earlier this month?
25 years.
Okay. He was 53 when he died, and I'm going to declare him to be the Wilford Brimley of rock and roll.
Yeah, you're right.
That dude looks 78 years old when he died.
And in his 40s, he looked a lot older, too. I mean, it was like, when he died, it was almost like, wow, he's still alive.
Yeah.
Although they were touring like crazy. No, it was actually very disappointing when he died. And very sad, too. That Grateful Dead series on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
Really good.
It's really long, good. Really long, man.
And.
Uh-oh.
Who you are? Your friends told me who you are. So I know who you are.
See,
I'll get you, you cocksucker. And when I do, boy, God bless you.
Oh, that's supposed to be the ZZs, man.
The sound quality is kind of weird.
Yeah.
I didn't hear them too well.
Sucks. Sorry.
Somebody actually worked on the sound quality and re-released it.
I could listen to the two bar all day, man.
I know. It's great. Let's see. What else was on the Jerry thing? Oh, Jamie wanted us to, or no, James actually sent two emails. One was about his wife had battled colon cancer, and she was only, I think, in her early 40s.
Oh, man.
And found out she had colon cancer, and he was just saying, this is right after Jamie died,
yeah,
just about, you know, that they don't really emphasize heavily when you're, at least they didn't when I was 40 or 45, to get tested for colon cancer, but eventually she did recover very nicely. But then he sent a follow-up email to say we should blow in a call to Marlins Man because he made a cutout for every team in Major League Baseball. Yes.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant.
I thought that was funny.
They had the funeral for Jamie today. You could stream it live, and I watched Wojo gave a nice eulogy.
Did they put it out there? I mean, did they put out the separate eulogy or anything?
I mean, you can watch it. There's a link to it. You can watch it.
Oh.
Christy told a really funny story about Jamie used to grab People magazine. They'd get it delivered to the house, and he'd buy it and then put his face on the Sexiest Man Alive cover every year and with a note like, "Won it again," and just put it back in the mail for her to find later. It's really, I don't know.
That sounds very Jamie.
Wojo gave a really nice eulogy. It's pretty good.
I know. I saw them.
He kept it together too, man. I didn't know if he was going to be able to.
I saw them all getting communion, and of course they had to wash their hands.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God. There was some other
sad man
email I wanted to read. Let's see. Oh, Laura was all bummed out about the top soundtrack list because she said she thought we dumped on about a boy. About a boy. It has this band who does all the music for the movie.
Oh, yeah.
And it works for the movie. And I was trying to say, I wouldn't mean to dump on it. It worked for the movie. It just wasn't like when you're competing with a Cameron Crowe soundtrack or, you know, Singles or Wes Anderson.
This is one of the songs. It's Badly Drawn Boy is the band.
I don't remember this clip in the movie.
Oh, it's on the soundtrack.
It is? Okay, She was quite adamant that she
sounds like a great one.
Worthy of its position.
So far, it doesn't.
Yeah, like I said, it worked for the movie, but otherwise, I don't know. Hey, Kelly Richards sent an update on his Brandon bio, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
I didn't see that.
You didn't?
Well, maybe somebody should take a look at that.
I can find it. I'll read you what he wrote. If you can handle it, Brandon. What are you eating, by the way? I've heard the spoon hit the bowl a couple times.
Nuh-uh.
You're doing it right now. I can see you.
All
right,
a Mexican
bowl. Why come you say nuh-uh?
Mexican bowl. What do you mean Mexican bowl? What's in it?
Pretty much everything you put into a taco, but it's in a bowl.
It's like a taco salad, but no lettuce?
Correct.
Okay. Brandon, I'm sorry you're so sour grapes about my accurate biography of your life.
It wasn't accurate.
But I think you're reading it all wrong, so try not to focus so much on the struggles listed when the section starts.
I'm kind of sorry he's so sour grapes about this.
Such positive wording as, quote, "Brandon has overcome many setbacks." It shows you're a fighter. Nothing can keep you down. The more setbacks listed, the better you look. You got to admit that. He's right there, Brandon.
Okay.
He says, but I do see what you mean in some areas, and I did edit some things and made some of the additions that Drew requested. Changes are underlined, and I even expanded the section of your recent success and work ethic and gave it a fancy bold heading. You will not find a more sunny portrayal of your life than what I present to you below. So I'll send it to you, and you can decide if you want to put it on the site.
Well, I mean, I just don't understand why there was multiple bios read, yet mine's the only one that gets put on blast.
Because you're the only one he wrote a bio for.
Yeah, but Matt Braze's not enough vowels. He actually wrote one for all of us. And
yeah, that was posted.
Those.
That was posted.
And I also saw in the About Us section that your picture just so happens to be with your best friend. And I think that's...
What is it? I don't even know.
It's a picture of you and fellow Gen Xer Righteous Rick.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Don't try to take a shot at Rick. He'll come over and de-pants you.
I'm gonna look at You've got a friend in me.
About Us. I'm going to look at it.
Because that's what best friends do.
And Drew's bio picture is AJ Hinch. I'm glad you added Mike.
Yes. I mean, obviously.
No, that's still the same bio. Matt needs to buy a vowel braces wrote.
I liked Trudy's. Trudy Daniels has been on many radio stations and many different markets. She has won many major awards that were voted on by listeners. Her love of music was passed down from her father, who was in the famous band Mach 5. She has a soft spot in her heart for serial killers and finds many of them attractive. She lives in a piece of shit house that's trying to harm her and enjoys playing Billy Squire songs on her radio show. Trudy is in amazing shape, especially since she seems to always be hungry and eating on the air. She often gets called out for thanks for listening to the podcast and holds her own very well on a show full of men.
That's very well written. That is great.
Yeah. Mark Fellhauer is a co-host who has had many jobs within the Detroit radio industry. He is always willing to take on more work to escape his home, which is full of women who run the house. He is a proud member of the U of M cult and, for some reason, likes Coldplay. His brother taught him the value of a dollar at a young age by making Mark pay for his own cable TV.
All accurate.
He enjoys movies, music, and does a great John Travolta impression. He will talk about Radiohead to the point of exhaustion.
Yep.
As he's allowed to, and does not have any interest in seeing the classic movie The Sandlot.
Hey, I watched 30 minutes of it the other day.
It's a good flick. He takes his appearance so seriously that he requires lights on his trimmer because apparently manscapes in the dark. He loves the Fall Guy and loves playing FIFA Mobile.
Oh, too much.
Mark is the only known witness of the quote-unquote Berkeley hero who cleans out the drain on his street.
No one knows who that guy is.
He has been blocked by the Detroit Zoo on Twitter and has nowhere near 33 steal.
Entirely accurate. Very well done.
Drew Lane is a popular radio host currently broadcasting in Detroit, Michigan. He reads 14 books a day and remembers a ridiculous amount of information about music and sports. He's a fan of the Beatles and really enjoys when others cover Beatles songs. He won't pass up a chance to talk about playing baseball at Virginia Tech, where he was teammates with the great Franklin Stubbs. Some hobbies include watching cops, wearing cop pants, shopping at 7-Eleven, enjoying true crime shows, trying to get hot at the gym, and globbing up. He is a fan of dogs and recently lost both of his canines due to AIDS. Drew is so deeply committed to his work that he can often be found going upstairs to have a bowel movement during the show. He enjoys women with big tubes and had to swim nude in high school gym class.
Should have mentioned I'm an owner of some of the Cops franchise as well. I own three seasons. Nobody's really made any offers to purchase any of the audio. I'm surprised.
You need to have a viewing party with that new Bose speaker, too, when it comes.
That's a good idea.
Hey, you know what one story we haven't covered? I feel
Your mind, Grafton!
I feel like we haven't seen this story much any place, is that McDonald's is suing the CEO that they fired.
You know, I'm so happy about this because I can't stand... And, you know, I thought, and I had mixed feelings when Google, you know, suddenly they all dispersed out of all the Google, well, they don't disperse out of all the Google locations, but some of them went outside to have a big protest because they paid off the executive who had an affair with someone at Google, I think, and they had to let him go, or they had to change leadership, and they had to give him this big package. But a lot of those packages are negotiated ahead of time.
Yeah, and that's what happened with this Steve Easterbrook, who I think you and I were talking about off the air, thinks he's hot because I believe he's Australian or South African, so he's got an accent too.
I didn't see his picture, but I'm sure he thinks he's hot based on...
There's a picture of him there.
Oh, yeah, he thinks he's hot.
You got to see him doing it.
I can tell you, I can look at a guy and tell you if he thinks he's hot.
So they fired him last...
We got 3 seconds.
McDonald's fired him last fall. Because he was having an inappropriate relationship with a woman, you know, who worked at McDonald's.
It was not a good story. It was not just one of those, oh, they just fell for it. It was kind of ugly.
Yeah.
It wasn't like rape or anything, but it was just not cool.
No.
And he, wait, was he married?
I thought he. Oh, maybe he's not. I don't know. You know what? That's funny, Drew. I don't know that aspect if he was married or not. But it was an undisclosed.
It was an employee though that worked under him,
and it was undisclosed.
Yeah.
So okay, they cut ties with him. They give him a nice little severance pay, but now they're suing him because they found out that he had relationships with not one but three employees, three subordinates. Which you know, once again,
all at once, or were they separate? Separate times.
It seems like it's been going on. Let's see, I'm trying to find the one thing.
Who was the guy? Wait, who were we talking about last week that was banging two chicks at all times and sometimes more?
Oh, boy, I don't remember.
Wait, who was it? Just last week we did the show, and I was talking about this person.
Period.
I think they were in trouble for, was it a politician, a sports guy, or, damn it.
Jesus, I don't remember.
It seems like it was a Me Too story of, it was the... It was the Michigan provost.
Oh, yeah, Filbert.
Yeah.
So,
but to be banging two chicks who work with you at all times and sometimes more. And he also had sex in the office almost every day.
Yeah, he didn't want to get a headache like Jim.
Hey, I hit the Powerball.
I mean, it was kind of impressive. And I mean, in a really sick way, it was like, how do you pull that much action? That's kind of amazing. How do you talk someone into banging you every day in the office?
So, October 2019, this employee came forward at McDonald's against the CEO, Easterbrook, and said that she told the company she was worried that she would end up getting punished for the consensual relationship, which consisted of sexually explicit text messages, photographs, and at least one FaceTime call with him, but was not physical, which is kind of weird.
Hmm. So she thought she'd get in trouble?
Yes.
Why?
Because he's the CEO.
Yeah, but he's above her.
Well, after verifying the employee's claims, the board decided not to fire him for cause and let him go with as little disruption as possible. Easterbrook claimed this relationship was the only one of an intimate nature and that he had with an employee. Said he never had a physical sexual relationship with someone who worked for him. But last month, McDonald's became aware another employee had been talking about her own sexual relationship with Easterbrook.
Whoa.
While he was an executive. In a lawsuit, McDonald's said it found, quote, dozens of nude, partially nude, or sexually explicit photographs and videos of various women, including photographs of these company employees that Easterbrook had sent as attachments to messages from his company email account to his personal email account. Ooh. And he tried deleting a bunch of it, too, which is why they're saying, okay, now you're fired for cause, and we want our money back.
Ooh, I dodged a bullet there.
How do you have time to run McDonald's and keep that much action going on?
He's running McDonald's. Amazing. His dick's running that life. He violated the company's ban on having sexual relationships with subordinates, and he lied to investigators. He also allegedly awarded one of the employees hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of shares, the company said in a lawsuit.
Wait, he what?
He awarded one of these women a bunch of McDonald's shares in the form of, quote, a special retention grant, which didn't need board approval.
Well, isn't that interesting?
So it sounds like his dick crossed over into the business part of it. I got this one, Easterbrook. What a dick.
Good God. So they're suing him to get his severance back, which was a shit ton of money, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know what? I don't know what the total was, but good for them.
No,
yeah.
It was a golden parachute, wasn't it?
I'm sure it was. If he was fired, you know, not with cause.
It's funny.
Here's another good story too along the sexual relationship.
When they busted who was it? The Michigan State gymnastics coach for perjury. Kathy Klages.
Oh, Klages, yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. Klages, whatever. I'm amazed how many people just blatantly lie in depositions, on the stand, court cases, whatever. I mean, cops, anybody. There's no one. You know, this idea that I just remember thinking that, you know, hey, when you take an oath, you have to tell the truth. And it's like that Clinton lied on the stand.
Yeah, depends what is.
No, he lied. He just outright lied. First of all, he produced an affidavit from Monica Lewinsky. Because what happened was the Paula Jones lawyers said, yeah, we want to ask you a few questions about Monica Lewinsky. And all of a sudden they go, oh, whoa, hold up. We're going to submit to the court this signed affidavit from Monica Lewinsky, who just for no reason decides, I never had sex with Bill Clinton. Signed, Monica Lewinsky. and I think he tried to say that, they tried to say, him as attorneys, that wasn't perjury.
What?
Because it wasn't him saying anything on the stand or something. I mean, some ridiculous.
He wasn't under oath.
No, it's incredible. Nobody tells the truth. Nobody feels they have to tell the truth.
You want
to
know what Easterbrook's severance package is worth now?
How much?
$57.3 million.
Ooh, that's a lot to think about. I would suggest that he hire a very good negotiator to make a settlement.
Settle, yeah. That's insane.
McDonald's should demand all of it. They should demand every penny of it.
Yeah. Good.
Cool. Well, who's this guy? Who's that dude?
Yeah. So read that story. I have no idea that this kind of stuff even existed, or you can just read the highlighted parts.
Catholic churches, including in Boston, drop hymns after accusations against composers.
Who are you?
Yeah, the Catholic Church is mad at the composer of some popular hymns.
So the hymns aren't about sex, though. The hymns are
about God.
Yeah.
I color me stupid because I had no idea that the authors of any hymns that are played in Mass are still alive. I figured they all died in the last 200 years.
You know what?
Most
I
hymns
saw
are just
a
so
list.
Repetitive and old.
I think it was the Catholic Church put out a list of secular music that they feel is fine to play in the Catholic Church.
Oh.
And the only reason
is,
I remember this...
Is Cardi B's WAP on there?
No. Oh, my God. The only reason I remember this is because I believe Let It Be was on the list. And so it's like, hey, how cool is that? Hmm. But there were other, you know, hit song or, you know, kind of hit songs, I believe.
Let It Be about forgiveness?
It's
about giving up to a higher power, isn't it?
I'm not exactly sure what it's
got
about.
Quotes, it's got Mother Mary in it. Right?
That's his mother. But I think it's been
that.
Accepted. I think John Lennon complained that it sounded like a gospel song.
Oh, really?
That. Yeah, at the time. He didn't want it to be on the album.
Read this guy. They call him the rock star of Catholic hymns.
Wow. He looks like a badass rock star. I mean, for the Catholic Church hymns, I would say. He does.
He's got a beard.
He's got a beard. Glasses. He's got a cool shirt on with flowers
it's like
and
a
stuff.
Hawaiian shirt.
Several Roman Catholic archdioceses have banned a well-known liturgical composer from performing in their churches and many others, including Boston's, and have stopped playing his music after dozens of women accused him of sexual misconduct and harassment over more than 40 years. Wait, so this guy thinks he's hot shit because he writes hymns for the Catholic
Church? Hey, I write hymns. Hey, let me see those titties. Pretty much. He's the rock star, man. He would tour and hit on chicks all over the place.
Wow.
You know, when it comes to sexual misconduct, nobody comes down harder on people than the church.
Cyberstalking, lewd propositions, forced kissing and groping, other one-on-one sexual behavior, according to accusations from 38 women, compiled by Into Account, a survivor advocacy group. New York Times interviewed six of the women. Many of the women were musicians or aspiring composers who considered Haas a mentor, said they feared professional retaliation if they spoke out earlier. One described him as a rock star in the Catholic realm, which shit his own rules.
Like, seems like an oxymoron.
Hey, whoa. My dad rocked three keyboards at once when he was band leader.
Really?
New Life Christian Fellowship.
He was the Alicia Keys of the church?
That's Christian, though.
Okay.
Catholic church can be a little, you know, we can be a little stuck in our ways.
Uh-oh. There's practically not a hymnal in existence that doesn't include Haas's songs in mass settings, said a Catholic theologian and sacred music composer. It's no exaggeration to say he helped shape the post-Vatican II musical landscape in the USA.
Big defining moment, Vatican II.
One accuser, Susan Brohl, told The Times she first met Haas then in his mid-20s, so he really thought he was hot then, when he was musical director for her parish, St. Thomas Aquinas, in St. Paul Park, Minnesota. David has this uncanny knack of finding girls who don't have fathers at home. Oh, God.
What an asshole.
Who may have come from an abusive background or neglected.
Yeah. Nice guy.
That's
huh?
a way to get... I spent a lot of time at her home while she was in high school, and then shortly after graduation in 84, he asked her out to lunch for a belated 18th birthday celebration.
I'm a God warrior!
So he followed some rules.
Yeah, listen to this movie pulled.
He took her to a Mexican restaurant next to a Red Roof Inn. Is that to tell us that it probably wasn't the most expensive Mexican restaurant?
Wow.
And ordered several large margaritas. After the meal, he pulled her in for a hug and said, I got a room for us. Let's continue the party. You're a woman now. This will bring us closer together.
Ugh.
She turned him down.
God, I get excited talking about it because I love it.
Another woman, Bex. Bex? B-E-X?
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like the sexiest name, I gotta say.
Bex?
Bex. If it was B-E-C-K-S, it might be cool. Like Beckham! Bex! Bex had been singing Haas' music long before she met him as a teenager at Music Ministry Alive, a music camp in St. Paul that Haas founded in 1999. She attended the camp for 3 years, worked on the staff for six.
Oh, Jesus!
I was 14 when I came under his spell.
Yeah.
She said, describing how she was groomed to be willing to do anything for him. Oh, boy. Working for Osgun said, he treated me like his maid, his servant. Frequently asked her to clean his basement office, run errands, and perform other chores. Despite her conducting experience and musical accolades, when she confronted him,
this could be a battle of the egos.
When she confronted him, she said he responded by complimenting her physical appearance in interactions she considered sexual harassment. Wait, that's all that happened?
Yeah. Well, seems like I think she was a little mad like about being the maid.
Yeah. Well, she's 14.
She looks like a comp.
What kind of a monster does that?
He was.
He's a rock star.
Was creating all those beautiful hymns.
He does look like kind of a combination between Richard Dreyfuss, Randy Newman, yes, and Whitey Bulger when he got caught and arrested.
Yes. Randy Newman. Hoo-ah! A third said Haas invited her on a walk at a conference in 2007 to give her career advice. He led her to a bench and forcibly kissed and groped her. The fourth, who had met him as a teenager at a workshop. Boy, this is nothing compared to what some of the priests are doing. Jesus. Fourth, who had met him as a teenager at a workshop, said that he forcibly grabbed and kissed her a few years later at a convention when she was 18.
I come in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Biatch!
On a later trip to her college, she said, He pressured her to commit sexual acts when she refused. Wow, it sounds like he never got what he was after.
No, he's not. This guy, after reading them all, I felt like he's very, well.
This guy's got blue balls, I'm not gonna promise you.
I want to excuse it, because some of the stuff in there is pretty bad, but he sounds very clumsy in his moves.
Yeah, he is no rock star.
Motherfucker, you ain't coming in, you come in the name of Satan.
He pressured her to commit sexual acts when she refused. He became angry. Oh, so she gave in. Woman, God, I wouldn't think that'd work. What do you mean you won't blow me?
The devil is a motherfucking liar, stupid bitch.
I can't picture that working. Plus, if you're yelling at somebody, it seems like it'd be hard to get excited.
Look at that world,
I know. The woman now a cantor to Path of Paris said she later suffered a panic attack when she had to sing one of Haas' songs. Haas is married for 7 years to Jeannie Cotter, a composer also, who came forward after the allegations came to light. She said the accounts echoed aspects of her own experience. When they first met, Haas forcibly kissed her at 16 when he was 24.
Yeah.
And after a 95 divorce, she faced retaliation in the liturgical music world. Why did she face retaliation?
Because he's that powerful, man. There's powerful people in any weird segment of society.
That's ridiculous.
The power goes to their heads, man.
How dare you divorce him? His hymns are incredible.
Made a powerful enemy in the Catholic hymn world.
Good God. How stupid.
But he liked to prey on younger girls.
Yeah, obviously.
Groom them.
God, and which is, there's almost nothing worse. And if you watch as much true crime as I do, you find out that, first of all, having a teenager who's a little bit independent is really scary. And
great.
So often, I know, so often when they're 15, 16, 17, there's so many guys who are like 25 who just think, she's old enough. She sure is hot.
Oh, that's so.
And so many of those cases, the really bad cases, are guys who are like 5, 6, 7, 8 years older than these teenagers. And it's just like, why does this happen so much?
You don't even know how much you just bummed me out.
Sorry.
Well, because I'm trying to raise them to be very independent, strong-minded women.
It's very tricky.
Ugh.
You've made a powerful enemy today, my friend.
I'm just saying, it's good to know. I mean, because a lot of these cases, too, are where, oh, he's helping me with my job, or he's teaching me how to do blank, and they never are doing that. They're just trying to bang them.
I'm going to be on top of them like hawks.
Absolutely. Okay, so.
Can't wait to spy on him.
I was actually really close to being ready to do the show, and all of a sudden I went into the Daily Mail, and like the fourth story in there is this story about Chicago. And naturally, I've been really interested in the Chicago stories, being from there.
Ooh.
And I was stunned. The story I sent you, I think it was on Saturday or Sunday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
About the downtown, sure, and how the Miracle Mile and some other areas that are really nice, there are a lot of people going out of business and who are saying, I can't hang on much longer. And not only that, there's a lot of disturbances. Crime is wildly up. There's another story today about how they, I think they said the 20 largest cities have an average increase in murder of 37%. Shootings is much higher, and also burglaries and robberies, way up. Crazy.
What were you going to say, Brandon?
Well, is it the Miracle Mile, or is it the Magnificent Mile, or are those two the same?
Great question.
Wow.
Great question.
You know, I'm confused.
I thought it was Magnificent Mile.
I think it is the Magnificent Mile.
What's the Miracle Mile then?
Can you look it up? Can you Google it?
Because I saw them, I saw a story from USA Today, Chicago looting and demonstrations. The Miracle Mile has been struck. And then aside from that story, everything else is the Magnificent Mile. So I was just wondering for clarity.
I feel like I've heard it called the Miracle Mile, but maybe I'm crazy.
I'm looking. I don't see anything.
Magnificent Mile sounds right. And Magnificent Mile, like WGN is there, yeah. WGN Radio, which is the WJR of Chicago, except a lot of people still listen to it.
It's a great building.
And they had the Cubs on there forever, and I think they still have the Bears on.
People still listen to it.
They do.
Well, they also had television here in Detroit. I remember seeing so much on WGN, and I didn't understand why.
Yeah, WGN is a pretty major operation.
What happened to WGN TV? Is it still out
there?
Yeah,
they're still out there. I think
it used to be like a go-to channel.
Well, the Cubs are on GN still, aren't they?
Hey, Doug, it's Drew.
Oh, God.
The World Series.
So,
the World Series. I got tickets.
Anyway, the Magnificent Mile has the offices of WGN. Broadcast number once, by the way. A long time ago. And Harpo Studios used to be on the Miracle Mile, Magnificent Mile. Oprah was in Chicago.
Was it right on the mile?
It wasn't right on. It was in that neighborhood, though.
The NBC building's there. Right there,
ESPN zone.
That's where Steve Harvey broadcasted from, and you couldn't look at him.
The Nike store. You know, all the fancy schmancy department stores are along there. And some beautiful hotels, too, like the Peninsula.
The Drake.
The Drake. The Drake's a little... it's basically on there. Anyway, I mean, to think that this area, that people would be vacating this area, and people used to kill to get in that area. But there's been so much negative activity around there, and people closed, and those who are open, it's just not, I mean, used to be, people were just always, you know, just tons of people walking through there on anything resembling a nice day, and now it's just apparently pretty desolate. And there were a lot of protests, there was a lot of vandalism, you know. Anything negative that came along with the protests seemed to happen in that area. And also Grant Park, which is a park where, you know, Lollapalooza was there.
Obama's big speech.
The Bulls championship speeches, the Cubs championship parade, all that stuff at Grant Park. And Grant Park is where that statue was being protected by Chicago police. Yeah, and these people who suddenly, like, pulled... This is so weird. All of a sudden, like, 50 umbrellas go up, and they're pointed at the cops, so you can't see anything. And the next thing you know, all these people are wearing black. And, you know, the face masks and everything. And then the bottles go flying at the cops, fireworks at the cops. I mean, it was just the ugliest scene. And the fact this is going on in Chicago, I called somebody who I thought was pretty connected in terms of that area, because I know he knows someone who is part of a business there. And he said, his thing was, there's no way those business people are going to put up with what's going on there. They're either going to leave, or Lori Lightfoot is going to fucking do something. It's not one of these, oh, it's okay, like Portland or Seattle. It's just not like that. So anyway, Sunday, this shooting takes place, and it was, I think I wrote the guy's name down. This guy shot at police. They were after him for... I know he's charged with attempted murder, and I'm not sure if that's for shooting at the cop or if that's for another event. But anyway, he shot at the police. They shot at him. They hit him. He's in the hospital. He's not dead, fortunately, I guess. But for some reason, this social media rumor starts that it was that the police killed a kid.
And this was actually Latrell Allen, who's 20 years old.
Brandon, can you read the charge against him? Is it for shooting at the police, or is it for what he was doing before he shot at the police?
I see. The fact that the police shot 20-year-old Latrell Allen is not disputed, but as misinformation spreads across the neighborhood and social media, many questions remain. I'm trying to find exactly. Let's see. Police have said that Allen shot at officers during a foot chase, and he's currently being charged with 2 counts of attempted murder, 1 count of unlawful use of a weapon. And the police did post a photo of the gun that they found on him. So.
Wasn't he a felon in possession of a weapon, too? Is that in there? No,
I'm not sure, but the actual rumor that spread was that a 15-year-old boy was shot 15 times and killed by police. And that Jesus is what Christ. Caused the initial gathering.
Yes. So this riot / looting is planned with a caravan of cars. And if you watch much of the video, you'll see these cars, literally, they're driving up to windows, busting the windows. People run in, they grab stuff, they throw them in the cars, and they are driving off with just all kinds of nice shit from the Magnificent Mile.
Just a little side thought. Wouldn't it be nice if whatever platform that lie was spread upon could maybe pull it down quicker?
Well, we all know that that's the platforms bear no responsibility for anything on their platforms. I mean, they're just vetting is not part of their business. Their business is to count the money and nothing else. I know. I can't believe how often this happens. It's just social media. You'd think it would get better.
We know how bad the information war is, and yet nothing can be done about it.
But, you know, regardless, this does not give you license to loot and steal things. That is breaking and entering. And if you're in the possession of a gun, it's worse. But anyway, the way this story goes just blew my mind as I read it today, because the people that were arrested, and the police had a terrible time. 13 cops were injured in trying to quell this thing. And they did arrest, I think, around 100 people. But BLM was protesting outside the precinct today, demanding the release of the people arrested. And now this guy, the story I read in Daily Mail said Ariel Atkins, spokesperson for BLM Chicago. And I'm like, wait, is this guy, he can't really be a spokesperson for BLM because of what he said. But it sounds like he is literally a BLM, some kind of BLM head in BLM Chicago. He says that BLM protesters, or that the riot and accompanying looting were, how do you put it? He called them reparations. And he said, I don't care if someone decides to loot Gucci or Macy's or Nike when it makes sure that someone eats or it makes sure that someone has clothes. Anything they wanted to take, they can because the business has insurance. Okay. And he used the term reparations. So apparently, according to the BLM, this BLM head in Chicago, you can steal whatever you're entitled to in terms of reparations. You can make that call and then you steal appropriately and they can't charge you. But when I'm reading about this protest,
he's also using the line too. He says, I don't care if someone decides to loot Gucci or Macy's or Nike store because that makes sure the person eats.
Wait, I thought I heard that somewhere before.
Well, did you add that the person eats?
I think I did. Oh, okay. Didn't I say eats and then that they have clothes?
Yeah.
Sorry. That's all right. But to call this reparations to me, this is unconscionable. And it's when I see a story like this, I go, is this really going on? Is there really support for this? Well, for that?
Did you see the sign about they looted from us, so this is looting back?
They looted what?
From us, so this is looting back. Let me find
who looted. The Chicago police looted?
Let me find it. Well, no, just here's the story.
In a Black Lives Matter protest outside a South Loop police station where many of the 100 people arrested are being held. Patrick.
Yeah, Allison, members of Black Lives Matter are holding the solidarity rally that started about 3 hours ago. They're standing with the 100 or so people who were arrested during the looting outside the police station here in the South Loop where those arrested are being locked up.
Yeah, she just said all that, dude.
I don't care if somebody decides to loot a Gucci or a Macy's or a Nike.
Thanks for listening to the podcast.
Because that makes sure that that person eats. That makes sure that that person has clothes.
Black Lives Matter Chicago rallied in support of people.
Why, how do they eat by looting Gucci?
They sell the stuff that they loot, I guess.
Hungry? Oh, so we should go online and buy cheap Gucci stuff right now?
Now, I'm just curious.
It's ridiculous.
Is anyone criticizing Black Lives Matter for this? I realize you can't criticize Black Lives Matter, but I'm just wondering.
This is a report.
Who looted
and
are locked up at the police station at 18th and State.
That is reparations. Anything they want to take, take it, because these businesses have insurance.
They just showed a guy leaving.
That's Ariel.
They just showed a guy leaving
the
store.
Ariel Atkins.
You want to know what this guy looted? I mean, maybe this guy did need it. He's got three giant packages of toilet paper. I don't know why that's funny to me.
But on Twitter, Reverend Jesse Jackson called the looting humiliating, embarrassing, and morally wrong.
Jesse Jackson has nothing to do with Black Lives Matter. Jesse Jackson was not there for the creation of Black Lives Matter. Jesse Jackson can keep his opinions to himself.
The looting started after police shot a suspect in the Inglewood neighborhood at 56th and Aberdeen after responding to a call of a man with a gun.
This person fired shots at our officers. Officers returned fire and struck the individual.
Police say a lot of things. They didn't even have their body cameras on.
Investigators confirmed the officers involved were not wearing body cameras and are asking for any witness video of the shooting.
Even though the DOJ said with the consent decree that they are no longer allowed to chase people, they decided that they were going to chase and shoot this young man multiple times.
Chicago police identify the suspect.
Okay, chase on foot? Was this a foot chase?
Yeah, it was. According to the article, it was.
Well, the guy had a gun.
Yeah, and fired back at him.
He just turned around and fired at him.
And the gun they recovered matches, this is so dumb, matches guns he's seen with in social media posts. Jesus Christ.
You know, sometimes
how wrong do you have to be on the wrong side of Jesse Jackson on an interracial story?
Sometimes I wish that anyone who posts guns or ammo on social media that we could have a no more guns for you or because wouldn't that eliminate a lot of people that really probably shouldn't have guns?
Oh, there's a lot of gun collectors, though.
I'm not saying before all the gun people yell at me. I'm just like the person I think of doing that is Janelle Evans' idiot husband who is constantly posting him shooting stuff. And
I have a male friend who has a Pinterest account and he took a pounding for having a Pinterest account. It's like, are you a woman? Why do you have a Pinterest account? And he got really bummed. And I said, are there any other guys on there? He goes, oh, this guy I work with. I go, what does he post in his Pinterest account? And he goes, all his guns. Okay, I don't know.
Oh, God.
I'm a guy. I don't have a Pinterest
account.
It's
not enough to have guns. Everyone has to see them.
How many guys have a Pinterest account, though?
No, none.
Brandon, do you know any guys that have a Pinterest account?
I think some celebrity guys do.
Pinterest?
I don't know.
I don't think I know any guys that have a Pinterest account.
I don't personally know.
I just have one friend.
If they do, they haven't told me.
But anyway, there's been quite a few, I think, errant things coming out of BLM lately. And I noticed that the polling on BLM, which when BLM first started, you'd find it would be like 80 to 20, 70. I mean, people were very, very supportive of BLM.
Well, it's, you know, now, what's going to hurt support for your cause? Looting.
Yeah, that doesn't help.
Rioting.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of the activities have been making people and wondering also what they do with all this money, which is a question that I don't really know that I have the answer to be honest. But I wish that all the, you know, the $150 million that McDonald's gave, I wish that it went to people. Because it's not that I hate BLM or anything, but I just look at program after program after program. It's like this, you know, when they were talking about the Amazon program today to create entrepreneurs, I just thought, I wonder if, it just seems like there's so many programs that never do anything.
Sure.
But anyway, the polling on BLM now appears to be along partisan lines. It looks to me like people on the left love BLM, support it, and people on the right are very skeptical of BLM and do not support it. Now, the only poll I saw recently was, I think it was 49 to 43. 49% supported BLM, 43% did not. And there was a lot of surprise expressed that many people did not support BLM, and I noticed some of the comments about...
Say the numbers again, I'm sorry.
49% were supportive of BLM and 43% were not. And the feeling was that this was a partisan divide, that the 49% are the left and the 42% or whatever it was were probably Republicans or the right. And honestly, BLM does feel to me like a left. I mean, I would have thought of it as something the left would certainly embrace.
Yeah, I'm just looking for another poll. Just curious.
Yeah, there was. It was, you know, and it wasn't that different, but.
But it's gone down.
If you go back, if you go back 3 months, you'll find that BLM has huge support.
3 months, you don't even have to go that far. July 8th, 70%.
That's a lot of. I mean, this is the kind of story, though, that will absolutely make people feel that, you know, BLM does not belong on an NBA court.
No, 100%.
And I don't know who this Ariel, you know, and when it said Ariel Atkins from BLM Chicago, I'm like, oh, okay, so there's a BLM Detroit, BLM Chicago, BLM. I mean, I guess BLM has so much money, and they were just going through some of the donations from these giant corporations to BLM. I mean, it's a phenomenal amount of money. They probably have offices in every major city by now. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. And they probably have a big payroll.
What do you think the negative view, what percent had a negative view of Black Lives Matter back on?
May 26th? Or no.
August 2017.
August 2017, Black Lives Matter. Probably, I'm going to say negatives would be high. But George Floyd changed everything.
Sure.
And I think a lot of that was because people were horrified by it. And also, I think there was just a, there was a good feeling in the air. And I think, unfortunately, that's dissipated. And it sucks. It's too bad.
It was a 57% negative back then.
But if, you know, if people are going to say that that looting stores are reparations and they're going to represent Black Lives Matter, then Black Lives Matter is going to drop even more.
That's really not going to help you get more support for, you know, a reparations program like Drew has offered here about just giving cash directly.
Well, the reason that I like that my program, again, how many great programs can I come up with in 1 week?
I think it's a good idea. You go past all the bullshit.
Yeah, all the bullshit. Like Ariel, whatever her name is, at Chicago BLM, who's probably earning a nice salary. And is that going to help anybody? Somebody like that?
You know, it doesn't. The only problem is it doesn't provide opportunity. But I don't know if any of these other programs are offering that much opportunity, especially as we talked about earlier. People aren't taking the opportunities. That
My point was just that the amount of money is so huge.
Yeah.
And all these. Oh, God.
Same with government programs.
McKenzie, not Bezos, whatever her name is now.
Is it Stone? Galooly? What's his Scott? Yeah.
She gave $1.7 billion to BLM and assorted anti-racist organizations. And it's like, I don't know what that means or who they are. But
do you think she vetted them?
She probably went over with Melinda Gates.
At least, well, she would have vetted them if she could have torn them away from Meghan Markle at the time. Oh, by the way, there's breaking Markle news.
Oh, no.
You know that book's coming out, too.
Yeah.
This is not related to the book, though.
There were like 20 different stories about that book today.
Oh, I know.
In the Daily Mail alone.
Well, the one that stood out to me was Harry fell in love with her when she went to the bathroom outside. Did you see that?
What?
Did you see that? She took a shit outside and Harry fell in love. Listen to this book.
Yeah, she took a shit right in front of me.
It smelled delightful. Prince Harry knew Meghan Markle was his soulmate.
And it was so small, I could pick it up with my little
hands. She said she hadn't gone number two in 10 days, but today was D-Day.
Hey, I don't know where that shot came from or why that had to jump into this conversation.
She demanded I dispose of it, which I thought was really classy, so I picked it up.
He knew she was his soulmate when she went for a whiz in the woods on their first trip abroad.
How are her poops?
She must have drilled a hole. The book says, Harry was delightfully surprised by Meghan's down-to-earth attitude. Boy, has that changed.
The only thing he was disappointed about the whiz was that she had a penis. Otherwise, he thought it was great.
While camping, she cleaned her face with baby wipes and happily wandered into the woodlands if she needed a bathroom break.
Do people take baby wipes on camping trips?
Yeah, probably. Why not?
Isn't some good fresh creek water good enough?
Well, if you want a bacterial infection.
Fresh creek water.
And the book also says, Harry enjoyed a classic bacon and egg breakfast on the glamping trip.
Oh, come they on. Stayed at a, No. They had a chef with them. Get the fuck out of here.
They stayed at a 1,500-pound-a-night tent, complete with an in-suite bathroom and private terrace. I'd be a little worried if you had that, a private bathroom.
She's so down to
she's
earth.
She's going outside and taking a whiz in the woods. What's wrong with a private bathroom?
I'd rather take a dump outside.
That's nice, Harry. You
as long as you clean it up.
I don't need any fucking toilet paper. There's leaves out there.
The only way I'm using the toilet is if you're emptying it right after.
Here's the most annoying part. So he had his bacon and egg breakfast. His future wife, however, opted to begin the day with a bowl of fruit and yogurt, with her morning ritual traditionally consisting of hot water with lemon, followed by steel-cut oats with bananas and agave syrup. Boy, does that breakfast?
Oh, that's some camping for you.
That scream high maintenance or what?
It's rough. That's really roughing it.
Oh my god!
No, but that's not even the breaking news. Oh, he was also, by the way, impressed that she only brought one backpack for the entire trip.
Well, they got 19 security people carrying shit.
Probably buy stuff. No, the breaking news is that they've bought a home. They're moving out of Tyler Perry's place.
Oh, really? Then they must have a job to earn all that money to buy a home.
Yeah. They've been living in their own home in Santa Barbara. Nearby neighbors, Oprah Winfrey and Ellen DeGeneres.
Oh, Jesus.
Boy, they're so regular unemployed people, aren't they?
I have never thought something was more hypocritical than when I saw that they are now dedicating their efforts to fixing systemic racism.
Yeah.
The people in the most systemically racist operation on the planet Earth are going to lecture us about systemic racism.
Well, they took lessons from BLM. You didn't.
Yeah, them with all the community groups. I forgot about that.
Well, did you hear him lecture social media the other day?
Yes. No, it blew my fucking mind. He doesn't even realize how ridiculous that is. I mean, come on, really? You don't realize how dumb that sounds for you to lecture us about
online hate is what he's lecturing them about.
Oh, I see. Well, he wouldn't know about that. All right, let's get out of here.
Oh boy, yeah.
Let's see. Are we doing a show? Hey, why does it sound like it's leaping in the middle of the song?
Because I had it unmuted. Here, let me. Oh. Here you go.
There it is. I need to hear those two drum beats. Are we off tomorrow?
Yes, tomorrow and Thursday.
Oh boy.
And we'll figure it out from there.
Somebody's got an anniversary.
I know, and somebody has nothing planned.
Uh-oh.
You can't plan anything.
No, I know. It's not your fault.
Thank you.
You should just pick up some really tasty carryout.
There is. There's plans. There are plans, but you can't.
I hear it's your second anniversary wedding.
Thank you, Amy.
Is there anything new on AB? Why is there no AB news? It seems like there should be.
He's working out, man. He's got his 8-game suspension to deal with. He's staying on the straight and narrow so he can go play with...
But someone could sign him now, couldn't they, before the suspension?
Yeah,
the favorite seems to be the Seahawks, but we'll see. There's also a bold prediction that he'll go to the Texans, but it's speculation.
Okay. Why is this going to be different than when he signed with the Raiders for 3 years for $50 million?
Because he's rededicated his life to football.
So he's really changed?
Hey, if the season's canceled, does that count for his 8 games?
No.
What?
No. No.
If he opts out of the season, does this 8 games count?
I don't think the NFL is going to cancel. I really don't.
I don't
either.
They
better not.
I really don't.
They better fucking not, because what the hell am I going to do if I got no college football on Saturday?
You'll have hockey and basketball starting up again.
Not college.
That's not canceled yet.
Okay.
It's a winter sport.
All right. Well, see ya. Have a good weekend.
Happy anniversary, Julie.
Oh, happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary.
Looks like your dad's going to get balls deep in your mom tonight.